Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone.
Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
AKA Jay Signal, and we're going to have an interesting show for you tonight. The first guest will be Rapture Ready Radio. They have a website that's proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. And also, they have a radio program on Blog Talk Radio. Check it out. And our next, after that, will be Ralph Apperson. He'll be coming on tonight. He's a historian, and he's going to give conspiratorial view of history. I wanted to share a few news stories with you before our guests come on. I hope y'all can hear me loud and clear. Hamas says the next war with Israel will be a regional conflict. If you checked out my shows earlier in 2009, actually in the middle of 2009, sometime in May, June, and July, you'd have noticed that I was saying that one day, when we least expected that that regional war that would break out in Israel every so often would actually go into the whole Middle East. And that is exactly what this article is saying. Hamas leader is saying that the next time a war breaks out, and it looks like it's supposed to be in the Gaza Strip, look out. It's probably going to go to the rest of the region. And that is familiar news, familiar reporting from a lot of sources, from politicians to journalists to authors of books, that one of these days we're going to when America's sleep and Americans are watching the NBA championship or something like that, that the whole world will be brought into this eventually war that is coming. And we need to be abreast of that, because a lot of things we have at stake, especially our freedoms. And if we don't understand that, then we're going to get bogged down and not understanding the time, because the Lord said that keep watch, for you know not day the Son of Man coming. And everything always going to be the same in this world. Before 9/11, you would think that America was safe, but that was not the case. Okay, so there's always a first time for everything. The United States has never had a president assassinated right in front of their very face. And that's what happened on November 22nd, 1963. And everybody was saying, wow, this is the first time that ever happened. How could that happen? Well, when you fall asleep and you ask how could the house burn down, it's a little bit too late, right? But Ralph Epperson would touch on the conspiratorial view of history. Now, I like Ralph Epperson. As a matter of fact, about 15 years ago, I picked up his book, and it was a grocery store, actually, in Estacada, Oregon. And for you people out there, and I picked up the book, and I started reading it, and that's when I actually started really finding out about the New World Order. But the real time I found out about the New World Order is way back when I was a private in the Army, and I was getting ready to go to the movies, and of course I was intoxicated. And, you know, I got into a taxi cab, and I'm sitting in the taxi cab, and I'm driving alone, and this taxi cab driver would not shut up. He kept talking about the New World Order, the New World Order. There's a secret society on dollar bill is the new deceptive order to form, blah, 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 blah. The Washington, D.C. is shaped like a satanic star. The globalists are coming in. And believe it or not, that was back in what? It was back in 89 to about 91. So I can't really mark it. I'm thinking 91. When that was a long time ago. I guess y'all can guess my age. But that was a long time ago, very long time ago. But the thing is, it stuck with me, and it's still here today. Now, I went through a lot of phases in my life. I went through understanding the civil rights movement, not understanding the civil rights movement, to trying to figure that out, to trying to figure out why things happen the way they do, especially when I started looking at politics when I was in my 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, maybe even more. And I started, and my family was Democratic, so I always looked at things as a Democrat. And then when I got in the military and I got indoctrinated by some of these churches, which were great churches, but they thought that the Republicans were God. I mean, they thought the Republicans knew everything. They did everything right. And if you say anything against one of the Republican presidents, oh, man, you're the devil. Now I'm independent. Now here's my voting record. I voted for Clinton. He won. I don't think I voted for Clinton the second time. I think I voted for George Bush the second time. And then after that, when George Bush was running second again, I didn't vote for him. I did vote for George Bush over Al Gore. So that's my voting history. And you fooled me twice when George Bush. He wasn't going to fool me twice. Man, that's one good thing. Both of these presidents, they didn't get a chance to fool me twice. And Obama wouldn't even fool me once. I apologize to people, Obamaites out there, but no, he's not going to be given a chance to fool me no more. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a break. We're waiting for our guests to call in, so we'll be back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays, 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists. in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. Continue on with Israel in the Middle East. We see the efforts for peace. We have George Mitchell over there. We have Hillary Clinton. We have Tony Blair. We have all these people trying to bring peace. We also have rumors of trying to divide Jerusalem, and that will never happen because God said so. We have a political effort to bring about a new world order, a one world government. And believe it or not, they want to make Jerusalem the capital of this world government. And that's found in a lot of the literature from the Club of Rome to the Pope, very Pope of Rome, saying that Jerusalem will be the capital of the one world government. And even the Antichrist will sit in the temple and declare himself as God. He would go into the temple and declare himself as God. So a lot of people say that the Club of Rome's dividing of 10 regions will be the beast to come out of the sea. But I beg to differ, and I'll tell you why. And Daniel chapter 2, it talks about, let's just go straight to the feet. And in this statue, there are 10 toes. They're two legs, right? Well, we have to back up just a little bit to Rome, the Roman Empire, which represents the legs. Now, one of the capitals was Constantinople, and the other capital was Rome, because the empire grew too big. And if you look throughout history, this beast will represent all the composites of the formal empires, from Alexander the Great to the Medo-Persian Empire to Babylon. And it would even go back to further than Babylon, to the Assyrian Empire. Now, the Mediterranean Union, the president of France, Nicolas Sarkozy, talked about, is coming to fruition. And see, when the tribulation period starts, the beast does not come out of the sea until prior to the tribulation starting, or just after the tribulation starting. Well, there are remnants and mirrors, and there are what you call clues to what this empire will consist of. And part of it is Europe. A lot of Bible prophecy teachers, from Jack Van Impey, Tim LaHaye, Hal Lindsey, look just at Europe. But that's not necessarily true. If you look at the statue in Daniel chapter 7, it's two legs. That means that this empire was divided into two regions. And let's just spell on that a little bit more. Now, Israel is being asked to join, and there was just an article out that Israel was being asked for, toying with the idea of joining Europe in this union. But see, there's going to be a Middle Eastern part that is mixed in with Africa, because the one that was the part, the territory that was controlled by the Constantinople was actually the Eastern Empire. So I don't know how this is going to come out, but it's a good chance that the five toes will represent five regions, and Europe in five regions, and Middle East and Africa. So we have to keep our eye on that. Now, what makes this so important is that when we see these things coming, we need to prepare. Silence. When we see these things happen, we need to prepare. We don't tell people this too, so they can come and listen to my radio program. It's full of, you know, people get off on this stuff. People really get off on Bible prophecy. I don't know why, but people do. But prophecy should be a purifying hope. When we see Jesus finigurated to come back, there's so many signs, brothers and sisters. It's almost scary. It's scary. But it's awesome, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a sound mind. According to the word of God, he gives us power. Brothers and sisters, he gives us power. He gives us power. No matter what happens to the saved person, if you get caught in a corner with a big, giant beast finna eat you up, when you die, you're going to heaven. That's not a good way to look at it. But let me get ate up and be sad about it. Yeah, you can be sad about it all you want, but if you save, you're going to be waking up on the other side. That's why the Antichrist has nothing over us. Because for those people that are going to be going to be here, yes, I believe in the rapture, when those people are going to be here, they're called tribulation saints. The Bible says they will be beheaded for the witness of Christ. So if you're beheaded for the witness of Christ, you're going to go instantly to heaven. I can't say anything more. But this is not a good way for a Christian to put it, but I'm going to put it this way anyway. If you are a person who is being raped and pretty soon the killer is going to kill you, you're going through terror. That's a slow death. Or some man, you know, hit you on the head, take you in, and you wake up and you're in a chair and you think you're electrocuted, that's slow death. But see, the guillotine that's going to be used in the tribulation period is quick death. And that has the remnants of the Islamic religion all over it, because they used to use guillotine to kill off their people. And matter of fact, Saudi Arabia still to this day will chop off somebody's head. The Antichrist will be in Assyria. He will be a part of the old ancient Assyrian Empire, which comprised of Syria, Lebanon, and parts of Iraq. Now, where would he come from? The Bible calls him the king of fierce features. So when you say that the Antichrist is the king of fierce features, what is the word? Without looking it up, what does fierce mean? If you're watching a movie which you had no business watching if you're Christian, and the word fierce comes up, isn't that sort of scary, intimidating? That's what I get out of it. So the Antichrist will be an intimidating-looking person. So that eliminates Obama, that eliminates Bill Clinton, that eliminates most politics, that even eliminates good-looking John Kennedy. The Antichrist will look like a mob star. He'd be a pretty boy. I mean, everybody will go after him. He will be well-packaged. I don't know how old he'll be, but he'll be a good-looking guy. If you ever seen Juan Carlos of Spain when he was in the 70s, he kind of looked like that. Sean Connery. Have you ever seen Sean Connery when he was small, younger, when played in 007? Good-looking guy, perfect tan, character lines. Looked like he can just... He'd make a good Antichrist even today if he made, if they made a movie of the of Tribulation period, because he got the look. I mean, he's older, but he definitely has the look. But the Antichrist, that eliminates a lot of people. We're never told as the church to look for the Antichrist anyway. Looking for the Antichrist in that glorious appearance of our, the Antichrist. We're not told. We're told to look for Christ. That's the lonely, Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we're told to look for. We are not told to look for him, the Antichrist. Okay. Evidently, I don't know what's going on with the first guest. I'm actually off my switchboard. I'm still looking sort of at the chat room, but I'm off my switchboard. I don't know what's going on. If he's trying to call in or something, but we have to go on with the show. We're going to be having Ralph Epperson on in a few minutes. Now keep in mind, because I had this problem before. When I have a guest on, they're going to be Christian guests on my show as well as un-Christian guests. They're going to be people who will. Most of everybody on my show will either talk about things that have to do with everything that's in the Word of God. For instance, an abortionist person that comes on, a person who is anti-abortion. That's going to be somebody's going to be on my show, regardless saved or not saved. If there's a problem in the school system, people trying to be taught, trying to teach about secularism, yeah, somebody's going to be on my show. If somebody talking about technology or the mark of the beast, yes, somebody's going to be on my show. Now, most of the time I'm going to have Christians on my show, but a lot of times I'm going to have, dang, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? I said most of the time, I said a lot of times, but it's oxymoron. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of people on my show that that will deliver the message of Jesus Christ, and it's going to be a lot. We're going to be trying to get the message out there, because I don't think we have that much time. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it again. I don't think we have that much time. As a matter of fact, I won't guess it, because a lot of ministries get in trouble for doing that. But I'll tell you this. Either this time or the next time, guaranteed, Israel goes into Lebanon or goes into Hamas or goes into Gaza Strip, time will be very short after that. If it happens this year, then I'm probably going to say we're there within weeks. We're very much there. We have more time, then praise God. But what are you going to do with your time? Are you going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you going to love your wife as Christ loved the church? And I'm stepping on my own toes now. Are you going to get your financial house in order? My toes. I'm going to step on my toes first before I step on anybody else's. I have to give myself to the Lord in every area of my life. Every area needs to be given to the Lord. That's why he says, I die daily. Die to everything. Die to yourself. Die to many areas in your life. And for those who are not saved, Jesus loves you. He loves you, and he is going to save you. And you're born at a time such as this. Believe it or not. If you're sitting here in this chat room, or you're on Blog Talk Radio, and you listen to these archives, you are set at a time such as this. We are the most... blessed nation on earth ever, because if you look at the other rich empires, we're the only one where the citizen can walk out the house as long as you don't break the law and do mostly legally what you want to do. You don't need any papers. You don't need any. Nowadays, though, the next terrorist attack, you might need some papers. You might need some papers to go to some city to city. You never know. So you might want to just go outside your front door and breathe the fresh air. Because the Bible says that all things that come from God is good. So if Jesus, if everything that comes from God is good, and anything that is opposite of that is opposite of God. So if you go to hell, that fresh air that you walk outside your door and breathe is gone. You say that's all that's going to happen in hell is this fresh air is gone? No. I wish. When you're absent from God, that's the main thing, is that God is connected to everything that is good. God has created, and if you walk out, if you go into the wrong place, hell, you're going to be hurting. But because it's number one, absent of God and His presence. And everything good, everything we take for granted, water, everything. That's one of the first things God created. Believe it or not, He didn't create any goats and chickens for us to eat, Kentucky Fried Chicken. One of the first things he, because technically the sky is made of water. So if you want to get really technical about it, yeah, the sky is made of water. So technically that's one of the things that's going to be absent in hell. Remember the rich ruler when Lazarus came up to Abraham. Have Lazarus come and put his finger of water on my tongue. I mean, all he's asking for a little water, so you know it hurts down there. That's a shame, folks. That's not good. Oh, my God, that's not good. We need to have I think every Christian should take a tour to, not forget Israel. Forget Israel. Take a tour to hell for about a couple of minutes. You'll come out the greatest evangelist ever. I mean, it's forever. It doesn't have, it's like 3 equals MC squared. It's like never stops. Compassion has to come out of that, folks. You have to be compassionate for the lost. Me too. I'm not all up in your juice. I'm looking at myself. This is not good, folks. Me, but here's the good thing. Let's see the glass half full, instead of half empty. There is going to come, in the next couple of years, the greatest evangelistic the world has ever seen. And not just the 144,000 Jews and the 2 witnesses and the angel flying to the sky. There's going to be Gentiles getting saved, Jewish people getting saved and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ underground. That's why you're ticking off the Antichrist. So for anybody who uses these archives, because they will be still there, wow. Everybody on Blog Talk Radio will get a chance to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ if you have a radio program. Your archives will be still there. Stick to the basics of the gospel and get it out there. Do not change it. Now, there can be many methods, and I hate that word methods. Jeez, it scares me. But God has many ways. Look at Ezekiel. Halfway naked, walking down the street, laying on the side for days. Is that a method of what? Compared to Jonah. Compared to Moses. If I can use the word freak, he is a freak. He is weird. John the Baptist was weird. God is not done with you, brother and sister. God is never done with you until your heart stops beating. I'm tired of people laying on their couch doing this and that. Don't go to church for symbolism because they got to punch a clock. You're not at work. You work at this such and such company. You punch a clock there. People get out of bed for work because they have to. But Jesus said, God says, do not forsake the gathering together of your people, of his people. We're lazy. And I'm talking about, stepping on my feet. We're lazy. Because if we worked all week, if we went to school all week, we did this and that and all week, for Sunday comes, I want to lay in the bed. Lazy. Why are you stepping on your own feet? Because I don't, if I can't preach to y'all unless I can preach to myself. I need to study the Word of God. Because the Word of God is replenishing. It washes us. His Word is a lamp to our feet. If we're walking in the darkness, we're going to trip. A lot of people walking in darkness today, falling all over the place, but having a good life, though. See, sin is not something that even the church despises, because sin is actually fun. Oh, you heretic. Sin, I don't know what else to put it. That's what makes it so hard to leave it. That's what makes it so hard not to do it. God has set me free from so many bondages. But as I talk to y'all, as I walk away, I still have to be very cautious, because arrogancy before the fall comes before the... Y'all hear me? Pride comes before the fall. And there's a lot of people at church on Sunday gossiping about Mary Lou and Betty May and telling them how ugly they dress is. That's their gospel. All up in your mug. They're your business more than you know you. What's my social security number? Oh, I forgot. I know it. What's my social security number? 555555. How'd you know that? Praise God, but how did you know it? I'm a prophet. No, you're nosy. Get out of my business. Prophetically speaking, I believe that the church of Laodicea will go through the tribulation period. I don't think the church of Philadelphia will be anywhere close to it. How in the heck are you going to tell me you're going to preserve me through a tribulation period? Come on now. Rocks, meteor falling all out the sky, doggone most of the percentage of grass burned. You mean to tell me I don't know what time I'm in? Antichrist signs the peace deal. You mean to tell me
the rapture of the church is going to come 1,860 more days?
Oh, so I don't know what day is coming. Now I do.
For those people who say that there's no rapture, that's just like going up to somebody and telling the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New Orleans Saints that I think a team would be better prepared if you don't tell them when the day is. I'll say it again. If we say, okay, the playoffs are over on the 27th of January, for now on, we will not tell you when the Super Bowl is going to be, but you have to be prepared between, now we're going to give you a 10-day window. We're going to come knock at your door and say, get ready. Sounds like the 10 versions, doesn't it? And see, when the rapture of the church is so vital, it's so important that we need to listen to this. People are telling me that Christ's work on the cross is not sufficient. Now, when people say, well, we divide in our church over rapture theories, yeah, because if you don't tell, I wouldn't divide it over it. I don't think it, well, I'll tell you in a minute. But if the urgency is not there to get ready to play your flute for the band, if the urgency is not there to take the study for the test that's coming up on Tuesday, if you got a, what do they call it, when they look at your job performance evaluation, and you got to have it on paper or something, or if you're in the military and you're going to get inspected, because the military has some crazy inspections, I'm telling you, everybody, the whole unit gets ready for it. They even know the day it's coming. We need to get ready for that. we need to get ready for. Now, I don't know if my both of them is not here. I don't know if he's thinking 8 o'clock hits my time or what. But I want y'all to listen to this young girl. I'm just going all over the place, but you can tell I stutter a lot. It's not because I have nothing to say. I have too much to say. And I have to write it down and say, okay, this is what I'm going to stick to. Because if I don't, I'm like Barry Sanders. Have you ever seen Barry Sanders, football player, stop and go? Well, I'll stop and go ahead in another direction, and you won't even know it. But I'm going to talk about abortion a little bit, and then we're going to get out of that and go to and talk about something else. Hold on.
What if I told you that right now someone was choosing if you were going to live or die? What if I told you that this choice wasn't based on what you could or couldn't do, what you've done in the past, or what you would do in the future? And what if I told you you could do nothing about it? Fellow students and teachers, thousands of children are right now in that very situation. Someone is choosing, without even knowing them, whether they are going to live or die. That someone is their mother, and that choice is abortion. Every day, 116,000 children are dying through abortion. 116,000. That means that 5,000 children would die every hour. All those lives, gone. All that potential, gone. And all that hope and future, gone. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Oh, it's not really killing, after all, a fetus is a child, right? Why do we think that just because a fetus can't talk or do what we do, it isn't a human being yet? The word fetus comes from the Latin word, meaning young one or young child. Some babies are born after only 5 months. Is this baby not human? We would never say that, yet abortions are performed on 5-month-old fetuses all the time. Or do we only call them humans if they're wanted? No, fetuses are definitely humans, knit together in their mother's womb by their wonderful creator, who knows them all by name. Some people might say that, since abortion's legal now, it doesn't matter. But if an action is unjust, it needs to be illegal, and it has to be our business. And this particular law has a huge impact on our society. In 1997, over 1 million abortions took place just in the U.S. And just last year, over 42 million abortions happened worldwide. I'd say that's a huge impact. I know some people say that the mother has a right to abort. After all, her life is dramatically impacted by having a baby. But I'm asking you to think about the child's rights that were never given to it. No matter what rights the mother has, it doesn't mean we can deny the rights of the fetus. Talking about the mother's choice, the mother may have had a choice not to have unprotected sex in the first place. We must remember that with our rights and our choices come responsibilities, and we can't take someone else's rights away to avoid our responsibilities. At this point...
Okay, I cut that off. Bomb, give me your area code for a second so I can see who's calling. Are you calling from Skype or are you calling from Bomb? I mean, Bomb, dang, I just said your name. Are you calling from Skype or are you calling from the regular? Because I think I have my guest on, but I want to get you in a little bit later because the other guy didn't call in ever dealing. So let me know your area code if you can. I've been having bad strings of luck, and the enemy comes in, and sometimes like a flood, because I got other radio programs where I have these guys where I would try to give the person a chance, but they're so articulate at not saying what they're going to say until they actually get it out. And if it seems like they're going to say something wrong, I'm going to get out of there. So I need to know what your area code, so I know which one of you. If you're calling from Skype, then I need to know that too, because it's going to say 11111 or something. Okay. Well, let me go on. I'm going to go ahead and answer this first call, but like I said before, I'm going to have a lot of guests on. Matter of fact, on my desk is so many people that even outside of Blog Talk Radio that I'm trying to balance everybody out and get a good management on who's going to be coming on, who's not. But Bond Servant for Jesus, you still in there in the chat room? I need to know your area code. Okay, that's fine. So I'm not knowing if this is Ralph Apperson or what on the 111. If you're a guest in the, I guess there's no more guests left. Oh, okay. I am from 232. Yeah, I understand that. I'm looking for Ralph Apperson to make sure, but I'm going to go ahead and answer your call first. Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, can we?
Excuse me?
I said, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Well, I was listening to your show because, well, I heard it before, but then also you contacted me. You said about being on your show, but I didn't know why you wanted me to be on.
Oh, yeah. I'm usually in the process of getting normal, downright civilian people that will be on the show. You a Christian?
Yeah.
Yeah, it had to be some reason. So I think that's what reason it was. That I want to get regular people on here that just want to spread the gospel and do your, you know, do your part. So that is no biggie. If I go through Blog Talk and I see somebody and their page and it looks interesting, then fine. Everybody has a story.
Okay.
Everybody has.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw you didn't have your guests on right now yet. But did you find them yet?
Yeah, I think he's on. I'm not sure. I'm scared to answer this one Skype call. But,
and sometimes it's like somebody that just wants to rant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me grab this call, see if that's him, and then I'm going to have you on. I'll get back in touch with you, okay?
Okay.
Thank God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello? Hello? Ralph?
Yes, good evening.
Who is it?
Bishop Yalvin, Bishop C.L. Yalvin. I received
hey,
an invitation from you earlier this evening.
Say that again? I can't hear you.
Hello?
Is this Ralph Apperson?
No, this is Bishop C.L. Yalvin.
Oh, how you doing, sir?
How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good, pretty good. I'm having troubles with my guest today because it's like the first guest didn't call in, now the second one's not calling in, and I'm thinking maybe everybody's got the time zones all messed up. So that's fine. I got a big mouth. I can handle it.
Okay. I might need to switch to another phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they're getting that feedback coming back.
Yeah.
So I might have to get up. I might have to just hang up for a few minutes and then call you right back on another phone.
Okay, that's fine. Bye bye.
Okay, so if you just give me a few minutes, and I'll be right back on.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Yeah, this is Reza Ashkenazi. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Ah, pretty good. I know everybody is scared to answer 1-1 calls because we have a gangs of Stephanie from 416 Toronto attack all the shows in Block Talk Radio. And, unfortunately, there is no, although we have her numbers, I have her file right now here, because my friend works in RSMMP and got all her information for me. I have all her file, but I don't know. This lady, unfortunately, attack every show, and they attack my show today. But it's something good, because something you must say the truth that they attack your show. So otherwise, they would not attack your show or attack my show, the New Village Radio. So, bottom line is this, the reason I call this, Israel has no other option to strike Iran, because the Iranian had the chance to topple the regime, which is Zahak Mardush, or if you remember in ancient Iran, there was a dictator called Zahak, which had the two snakes on his shoulders. So finally, Kaveh, he came and declared war on him and toppled him. But unfortunately, these people, they killed their own people. These are not Muslims. These are because the followers of Islam are two different ones. One, which are the true followers of Islam of Mecca, which Muhammad of Mecca. But they killed Muhammad in a coup by followers of Abu Bakr, Omar, Osman, Ali at age of 53. Then, then the imposter Muhammad, when with the followers of Abu Bakr, Omar, Osman, Ali went to Medina. So at that time there was no internet, so people, nobody knows who looks like Muhammad. So somebody said, yeah, I am Muhammad. And since then, if you read the Quran, you will find out there are the Medina verses and Mecca verses. Mecca verses is from the true Muhammad, and Medina verses is from the imposter. And the true Muhammad never said kill somebody else, never said Sharia law, never said honor killings. And unfortunately, Iranian, they had a chance to topple the regime a few days ago, but they lost it some chance. Now they have to face the strike of Israel, U.S. and NATO forces, unfortunately.
Do you think Israel's gonna? You think the United States is gonna be a part of the Israeli strike?
Oh yes, because already Iran has 3 atom bombs. And they already, immigration officers in Nogales, Arizona, they found the Iranian jackets, IRGC, Iranian Revolutionary Guard jackets, plus they found Iranian monies all over Nogales, and plus, so they must bring one at least atom bomb in USA. So if any of the cities in USA will be evaporated, so it will be very bad for Obama. So Obama has to act before Iran gets Obama, and Obama will get in big trouble, and he has no other chance, choice to resign. So for that reason, Obama has no other alternative to join Israeli forces and let Israeli strike Iran, and then after that support Israel, and also NATO forces are already said that we are going to be with Israel too, and they're fed up too, because Ahmadinejad is a comedy. He's illiterate. And so Iranian cannot get rid of these bastards, let's put it that way.
Okay. So what is the timeline on this,
The timeline is getting much more closer than the people think, and that's why we ask all the embassies in the world, they close their embassies from Iran and get the hell out of Iran, because then if anything happens, then it's not responsibility of anybody else. And also we want all the world close the embassies of Iran as well too. And because to let them know that nobody wants them, and that would be a big blow before the, but Israelis are going to use EMP. You know what is EMP?
Yeah, the special bomb. Yeah.
Go ahead. You explain it, sir. Go ahead.
No, the bomb would shoot up in the air and it goes up about 200 feet and it takes out all your electricity.
Exactly. Before a strike, that would be the first scenario. I mean, not first scenario. That would be happen for sure. Then there is no computer in Iran works. There is no water. There is nothing. And there will be total panic in Iran, the whole Iran. And the regime cannot shoot any missile, because if they don't have the computer, then they cannot shoot any missile. So then Israelis are going to strike. And then at the very last, they're going to, if Iran and Iranian people do not topple it, this regime, then they're going to strike the nuclear facilities, and within 48 hours, 50 to 60 million Iranians will die.
Wow.
Unfortunately. Yeah. But there is no other choice, because we have told the Iranian to wake up and topple the regime, but unfortunately, the Iranian people don't get it. So either it's better to give 1 million blood, or 2 million blood, because these people are not Muslims who rule them. And these people, they are followers of Abu Bakr, Omar, Osman, and imposter Muhammad of Medina. So therefore, they can kill 1, 2, 3, 4 million. But it's better 4 million at the max than 60 million. So, but they don't get it. Iranian people, they don't get it. And all the Iranian TV stations in abroad, all the radio stations in abroad, they take money from the Ayatollahs. At the same time, then every month they have a telethon, and they say, well, if you don't give us money, then our voice will be shut down. And so then Iranian, they get money from both sides. So they basically entertain Iranian through satellite. And so, you know, is nothing is going to be changed. You see, if you go to the streets and shout and you come back home, nothing will be changed. People in Iran need action, but by showing few things, a few buses on the fire, or this is not big deal. 31 years of hell, 31 years of rape, murder, killings, hangings, and much more. I don't get it.
You think Syria would join in?
Syria, no. Syria will lost Syria because it's next to Israel. Israel is already went many times to the palace, the Israeli jets, and then they came back. So they know that, you know, the Israel has Golan Heights, as you know. Golan Heights, you will see Syria underneath. So they cannot do anything. I mean, go ahead, sir.
Well, the way I see the Bible foretelling it is that in Psalms 32, 33, it talks about, I need to know exactly what chapter, but it's talking about a minor scuffish between Israel and its neighbors. I believe that we're going to have a Lebanon war similar to the ones that have been happening in the past. And I believe that even Hamas, I have an article here that says from Hamas, it says the next war with Israel will be a regional conflict. And I'm thinking that we have another event sort of similar to the one in 2006 and similar to the one we just had recently, that will boil, and I think what will happen, because even Israeli politicians have said to Syria, if y'all use any chemical weapons, we're gonna completely obliterate you and neutralize your capital. And they wouldn't kitten. So the Bible talks about in Isaiah 17, it talks about the nations rush down like a mighty wind, but that's after Damascus is taken out as a nation. And then in the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39, Israel will get attacked, but Russia will respond. And part of the hooks, because the word hook is not one, it's not singular, it's plural. It's hooks. So I think one of the main hooks is that Damascus is taken out, and Russia will respond very quickly. And the Bible says before the next day, Russia is no more. So that's what I see. I look at the Bible more than I look at any analytical journalist or current day theologian or anything. The Bible tells me exactly what's going to happen. I just don't know when. I thank you so much for calling in, because you did me fine, Justin. I have to let Mr. Ralph Apperson come on. He's my guest.
Sure.
And I thank you so much. Are you from Eagle? You from Eagle what again?
Right. Just put Reza or put the New Village Radio. Put the New Village Radio.
Could you email me your information, because I want you to come back on.
Okay, sure.
Okay,
I will send you sometime. Thank you very
much,
sir.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening, sir. Bye-bye.
You too, man. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. I have next. I'm Ralph. If you're on, I apologize. If you let me go another 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to talk to Bishop C.L. Yarbert. If you hear me, I don't know if you're the guest in the chat room, but if you are, could you, I don't think you can actually respond. That's right. But, just give me a few more minutes and I'll bring you on. And actually we can just keep talking past the show time, because we just still keep recording. But let me, go ahead and bring this guy on and I'll get to you in a minute, Ralph. Hey, sir, how you doing?
Yes, good evening. This is Bishop C.L. Yarbert.
Yes. I'm glad you called in. You got my email, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure at the time whether or not you actually wanted me to call in, or you just basically, it was just a support, just being in support, because most of the time I normally just tune into a lot of broadcasts, especially Christian broadcasts, just as being a support to one another, to, the sisters and brothers in the Lord, because that's what we ought to be doing.
Amen. Yeah.
But I appreciate the invite. I'm honored by the invite.
Yeah, because I really believe that. I think a lot of people on Blog Talk need to pray for each other.
Yes.
Because believe it or not, we take for granted those people calling in and saying all kinds of crazy stuff. Like if you listen to my last radio program, I think it was my last one, where these guys just saying all kinds of crazy stuff, and I'm like writing crazy things in the chat room. That's not the first time that happens.
I got that earlier during my broadcast. About 6 o'clock this evening, I had a young man calling in saying something crazy, but I just, I just blessed him in the name of the Lord.
Yes, indeed.
letting him know that, as long as he keep listening, let him keep on listening, he gonna get saved.
Yes, indeed. Bible says, count it all joy when you follow the first vision. So. Yeah, but thank you so much, man. I want to just bring you on, talk about, what the Lord is doing. It doesn't always have to be about prophecy, but, that's what I was trying to tell people, even on my local program that I'll be having here in Spokane, and that's Eastern Washington, and also I'm sure away, that a lot of my programs are going to be talking about issues pertaining to what God wants us to do, like as far as economy, our finances, our, how do we feel about certain political issues like abortion, You know, and how do we feel about George Bush being the president for 8 years and we still have abortion? I think abortion is going to be something that it'll take the second coming to get rid of. I'm not trying to be funny about this.
Well, to be strictly honest, I mean, we're going to have to, as I shared this in my broadcast of earlier this year and really latter part of last year, dealing with homosexuality and all these things, these are the things that the church is constantly trying to avoid confronting.
Oh, yeah.
Both
yeah.
in the church, during service, you know, and abroad. And time is coming too close to where we can put our head in the sand. You know, we're going to have to confront the issues because, one, I mean, if you go back and study in the old scripture, what have you, molestation actually is a child sacrifice, and that's in the Old Testament. What have you, at that time, they were literally burning children. Parents were literally burning children alive as a sacrifice unto the god Molech. Literally Satan has progressed.
Yeah.
Whether we want to acknowledge it in that fashion, Satan has progressed. What have you? Where we're at now is where instead of him burning children, he's now killing children before they're allowed to be born.
Yeah.
And in this country alone, what have you, for us to say that, for it to be said, proclaim that we're a Christian nation, and yet still allowing homosexuality, allowing abortion to take place, knowing to the fact of naturally, sperm is alive. I mean, let's just be real about it. You know, sperm is alive because sperm actually have a blood vessel in it.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you actually do an examination, when sperm enters the seed of the egg of a woman.
Uh-huh.
It becomes fertilized, so it begins to grow because it's in the egg. How can you say that an embryo is not alive when it has a blood vessel in it? And then you go back to Genesis. What have you? God calls it a seed. He calls us a seed when we're in our mother's womb during conception. We are a seed.
Yeah.
And a seed is alive, especially when you put it in living ground.
Yes, indeed.
So how can you say that a child that is being conceived in their mother, though it may take a while for it to have actual human formality, is not a living soul?
Yeah.
When the Word of God says something, says totally different. These are the things, these are ancient spirits. So only thing we're seeing basically is the last days slowly but surely escalating, just like Christ said. I mean, sin is going to increase, and that's scripture. Sin is going to increase whether we like it or not, you know, whether we want to accept that as in the body of Christ or not. And we can find that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, whatever you, sin is going to increase because we're living in perilous times, you know, things are only going to get worse. It's not for us to get fearful.
Uh-huh.
It's for us to get on our, you know, basically as they say now, to get on our A game and begin to really start going forth and ministering the Word of God as we ought to be, reaching into the far areas of the earth, ministering the Word of God. You know, that is our responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we have, you know, thank God for Blog Talk. Thank God for, you know, other, you know, internet live stream web hosts, you know, that allows us to go forth and to take the word, you know, beyond just the four walls of the church as well as beyond the United States itself, you know, because this is what we need to be doing now. We need to really be not so much trying to convert the world because that's not what we were called to do, but to present Christ.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing, presenting Christ, not just in what we say, but in our very lifestyle, life.
Yeah, and our life is a what you call a letter, And it might be the only Bible someone reads, believe it or not. And if we are being mean and evil to our coworkers or our friends at school or something like that, it's going to come off the wrong way. So mm-hmm. our light must shine. Light is from a distance.
Right.
And you can get up close, but light is from a distance. And then salt, you taste it. It's up close. So both of those have to be in the right perspective for us to be effective in this society. And I'm glad you said that, because, as a matter of fact, it's coming straight off the word from the day at my church, because we had a guest speaker, and he was elaborating, because I'm not going to say who it is because I'm going to have him on my show, but he's going to be a surprise guest, but he has, I'll give you a hint, he's pretty darn, I just ran into him, I said, can you be on my show, sir, and he's like, yeah, so he was saying the same thing you said, brother, today, and I need that, because we need to tell the truth, we need to come to people, including my next guest, we need to tell the truth. And I know people think it's crazy for us to say that the Federal Reserve is not federal, or things like that, and the people get ticked off at me because I'm not, you know, my guest is not spitting out scripture. But I'll spit out scripture for you. I'll love to spit out scripture. You know, I'm going to have a lot of guests out here. I want you to come back on the show. When we spit
I'll
out
be
scripture
honest.
Together. Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'll put you on, man, because I'm going to talk to you offline, too. I mean, we call each other something because I'm looking for some other guests in my local area. And in the reach is a blessing from God. The reach is a big, big blessing from God. And I'm looking for people who I can hang with, you know, as far as is in heaven, where we be like, man, dude, damn, I got in front of the Lord and he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. But I wasn't expecting it. I thought, hey, you know, I was doing, in actuality, when I talked to one person, a lot of grandma's going to be there. It's going to be like blowing us out the window. You know, we got blog talk. You say, well, wait a minute. Grandma Betty only talked to about five different people. Well, that's what I was looking for. She did what she's supposed to do. So I want to do what I'm supposed to do. So if I got a radio program and I'm speaking to a lot of people and I go to the school, the guy sitting next to me going to hell, I got a problem. A big problem. You know, I need to speak to the grocery store clerk, you know, with kindness and love, without judgment. Of course, there's going to have to be some type of, truth told, because a big time truth. My wife told me in the store about a couple months ago, she says, baby, your breath stinks. And that was the best news I had of the day, because I'm like, so I would have went and talked. I was like, man, so I would probably went and talked to the cashier. I would have wouldn't talk to my kids.
Mm.
I probably would to talk to a lot of people. So sometimes the truth hurts, but the truth will set you free.
Amen. So, that's right.
Yeah, bro. So I want to get you back on here, and I'm looking to get a lot of people from Blog Talk to be on the regular show. And one of the bond servants for Christ, for Jesus, was saying that, why did you call me? But I'm looking for people that can spread. I'm a regular person. I don't, you know, I consider myself one of the disciples, because the disciples were unlearned men. Now, they did have the school of the prophets, and I believe in college, so I'm going to try to get to Eugene Bible College pretty soon. Mm-hmm. But, hey, I mean, I can read the Bible right from my house. I mean, I can be in the military and right in the desert and read the Word of God, and that's the beauty of the thing, you know. God is not looking for me to say, hey, look at me. I got a college degree. You know,
most of the guys
that have a theological college degree are dumb as a rock. I mean, everybody, but you know what I mean. It's just some of the people who have messed up theology. If you can allow your foundation of the gospel to get messed up, hey, you're going to mess up the whole thing. I mean, if you build a house with a messed up foundation and a storm comes, your house will be the first to go.
Amen. So that's right.
You want a strong foundation. You don't want to leave out rebar.
Amen. That's right.
You want to let the concrete dry at a specific time. If you got some dividers, you want to put the dividers in properly. You know, if you have a drainage ditch, you want to put that in properly, because if you don't, you're going to be hurting. So we need to make sure that simplicity of Christ stays intact. If it doesn't, then we're in trouble.
Well, I think part of the problem is it has to do with the fact of, and I'm not saying this is everybody in the body. There's not a lot of us in the body of Christ, especially in leadership position, because we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But at the same time, you have so many people getting doctorates as far as going to college is concerned and getting diplomas in biblical studies, pastoral studies, and I'm for education. I love education. Here's the thing coming down to Christ. You can have all of those things and without relationship, because Paul said this himself in Philippians, what have you. Everything he learned as being a Pharisee, the law, I mean, he broke his very own pedigree down, okay? Yeah. Out of all he learned from Gamaliel, what have you, being a Pharisee, what have you, coming from one of the most prestigious tribes as a Hebrew, he said when he came to know Jesus, he considered everything worthless thereafter, other than his pursuit after Jesus Christ. That was more important to him. He was basically making clear that without your relationship with Christ, I don't care what kind of teaching you get, how well educated you are. If you don't really have a relationship with Christ, all you got is head knowledge, and it comes to nothing.
Yes, you know? Indeed, brother. And you know what? That's the best news in the world, because I think a lot of people have their ministry as their God. And I've always said that, too. Right now, and people out there might disagree, but I think from what I look in the Word of God to what I see now, we are very close to something happening. And if it's a year away or 2 years away, if it's 5 weeks away, which my best guess, it might be 5 weeks away, but a couple of months away, but that's beside the point. If we see these things coming, we need to prepare. We need to clean out the house. We need to get our house in order. But the house is actually, do we have any addictions? Do we have any weights that are easily besetting us, that's weighing us down to make progress? There's a lot of males I have a ministry called The Common Salvation. Look it up online. I mean, on Blog Talk, I'm going to be bringing that out pretty soon, where I want a lady prophesied on me about a year and a half ago, and she said, you're going to help a lot of people as far as that. But I'm like, I kind of like put it on the back burner, but at the same time, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now we can struggle, and the only time we struggle is when addiction is one of the main reasons is we want to. And sometimes the back of the mind, sometimes way back there, we don't really want to let it go.
Amen. So that's right.
The Son can't set you free if you really don't want to 100% be free. He has to bring you to misery before, especially like pornography. Now, I never had a direct problem of going on a computer with pornography, but in my mind was a terrible thing to waste. In my mind was women dancing around with no clothes on. I'm going to be honest with you. And God set me free. The only person I want to look at now is my wife. But after I walk away from this radio program, the armor of God has to be intact, because once you start giving your testimony, you become an open. He's coming at you very quickly, because he wants to neutralize, and he wants to say, "Oh, you said that. Oh, I know what you so you told everybody that you got free of this. Oh, I see now." He's gonna poke it up in your face. And in these last days, we have to be free. We have to come, and it says, I must decrease that he must increase. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to have power to stop those sins. And you ask God for his will, because my will, with a lot of people's will, they don't want to stop hanging out with the, you know, certain groups. So it's very important that in these last days we lay aside every weight. And we lay it at the cross. We put it down, bury it at the cross, and go off and do what we're supposed to do for the Lord. Because time is running out, my brother. And we're getting crunch time. We're weeks, if not months, or maybe a year or two away from something happening. I'll occupy until he comes. I got plans. I could tell you some plans. But the thing is, my main plan is to do what he wants me to do. And that's not for real. I'm my worst critic. I look in the mirror and say, man, I go and get on my knees and say, God, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? But he's moved me from glory to glory and from faith to faith. He's moved me from a problem. He's handled this problem. Say, okay, next. And he has done a great job at doing, nobody can do a better job than Jesus at eliminating these problems. You know? But thank you so much, brother. I want you to come back on and a few, probably quickly, maybe next Thursday, and look at what's going on. And then, yeah, man, talk. Let's email each other and talk, man, because I like what you have to say. So who knows where we might be able to look each other up in the rapture after when we're all in heaven and say, yeah, man, we that's cool.
I wanted to comment on, I've heard the gentleman, I believe he was Israeli. Comment slightly on what he had shared based on scripture. The main reason why they're going to continue going through what they're going through over in the Middle East. One, we have to keep in mind that a lot of what's going on is because of what happened with Abraham, with Ishmael and with Isaac. Ishmael was the promised child. Isaac was born out of the flesh, what have you. And the Lord had already prophesied what was going to happen. Now, what we got to understand through scripture is that Ishmael was not cursed.
Yeah.
Ishmael was not cursed. Neither is his descendants. But the Lord had already prophesied that his descendants will be like wild men.
Uh-huh.
So all we're seeing right now is basically what had happened after Abraham basically did what he did prior to allowing God to bring forth Isaac, what have you, according to his own perfect will.
Yes.
So everything that we're seeing right now with Israel, with the Palestinians, what have you, it's really nothing strange. That's the thing that gets me with us in regards to the church, because we're sitting in such mesmerized about what's going on in the Middle East. And if we actually have taken the time to really study the way we ought to study, we'll understand, according to Old Testament scripture, what have you. This, all of this is because of what happened, what have you, with Isaac and Ishmael, what have you. Yeah. All of this is word. All of it is word.
Yep.
You know, all of it is word. So Obama is in office for a reason. This is you know, we may not understand, we may look at it, you know, as with many people that's in the chat line right now, in the chat room right now, and may be tuned in listening. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it as clear as day, what have you. A lot of African Americans are so caught up with Obama being in office, not understanding that the Lord has him in office for a reason, and it has nothing to do with ethnicity.
Yeah.
It has to do with fulfillment of his word.
Yeah.
It has to do with fulfillment of his word. Because a lot of things that Bush could not get instituted as law, both internationally as well as far as the United States is concerned, as the Holy Spirit be my divine witness, it is a lot of things that could not get pushed into law, both internationally as well as here in the United States, it's going to be through him that a lot of laws are literally pushed through.
Yeah.
And a lot of us don't seem to, a lot of us in the body of Christ don't see that. We're not understanding that. You know, we're too busy. We're too busy having a praise good time, you know, on Sunday morning. and on the weekday going to prayer service and Bible study. And we need to really lock in spiritually and really begin to start focusing and see what's really going on in the spirit. Just like here, we're in 2010 right now. This is a time of order. The Lord is causing the church, the corporate body of Christ, as well as the local assemblies, to get in order, because there's about to be a spiritual release getting ready to take place, both through the Holy Spirit as well as demonically. And we're not prepared for it. We're not prepared for what's about to happen within the next 3 years. And trust, and believe me, just as the word speaks about, in the next 3 years, there's going to be a whole lot of things being released in the spirit.
Yeah.
And we're not really prepared to deal with it. A lot of the church is really, I'm not saying none of us in the body of Christ are, but the church as a whole, as far as when you look at the whole scope, we're not prepared to deal with it.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, thank you, man. You're right about that. Like, Laodicea and church is all over the place. Plus, there's all kinds of distractions in the body of Christ. There's all kinds of distractions. Now, we got to keep in mind, though, that when Jesus was talking, he gave a parable about the wheat and the tares growing together. And he's like, just go ahead and take the tares out. And say, no, man, stop for a second. Let's let it all, let everything transpire. Let all the processes of spirituality or nature take its place. And then at a point in time, we'll split the wheat from the tares. And that is true. That's exactly what's going on today. And I believe that the rapture of the church is working to people's benefit, and it's working against people. The reason why I say that is because when I was in school, even now, I know I'm smart enough to figure stuff out and smart enough to take tests and get ready for a test, but sometimes I put it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go do what I want to do. And sometimes I get an A off the test, and sometimes I get a D, or sometimes I get a C. But most of the time, if I prepare myself, I get an A. And a lot of people love the rapture of the church theory. They love the left behind theories and all this other stuff. But that's a scary thing, because if you're not ready, and for those people who believe there is a rapture, I'm talking to you, and that's me too. If we're not ready for that trumpet sound, we're not going to go. We're going to be too heavy and weighed down. It says, lay aside every weight that easily besets you. Now, those weights, you're gonna drown to the bottom of the sea. Now, God can lift you. I don't mean that metaphorically. I don't mean that he can't lift anybody. He can't build a rock. He can't lift. But I meant, as far as spiritually, God is not. He's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. And is that perfect? No, it's not a perfect person. He's coming back for somebody who is walking in the spirit. Because he said that in Romans chapter 8, he says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not mine. You're a legitimate child. He says, you're just off and doing what you want to do. And that's the thing about this ministry, because I fear to hearing him say, well, I didn't tell you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot. Burn. Dun, 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 dun. You know? I mean, haven't I had a radio program on Blog Talk Radio preaching the gospel? Then I go local and go short faith and see the people. I never knew you depart from me. I put myself in that position. And people probably look, dang, why are you going to put yourself in hell? I'm thinking about, man, the mind cannot fathom the absence of God, the absence of air, the absence of water, the absence of food, mama's apple pie, Thanksgiving dinner, the Super Bowl, watching fellowship in the church. Brothers and sisters, I mean, I'm separated from all of the goodness of God. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, man. I mean, that's crazy. You're in hell for eternity. And then not only are you separated from all it hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, for billions or kajillions, I don't even know if there's a number for it. It's just forever. There is no stop.
Mm-hmm. Infinity.
Yeah. But thank you, brother, for coming by, man. I'm going to get in contact with you, and wow, but thank you so much. I'll be praying for you too, man. Pray for your ministry. You pray for mine, and I thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate you. I'm honored by the invitation. Amen. Yes, and thank God for you.
Thank you. You have a great night, man.
Same to you. Same to you. Yeah, blessed evening.
Yes, sir. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to bring on our guest, Mr. Ralph Epperson. And before I bring him on, let me read this right quick. Ralph Epperson is a historian, author, and a lecturer who has been researching the conspiratorial view of history, the view that major events of the past have been planned years in advance by central conspiracy. And he's been doing that for 40 years. He's written books. If you go on the page, you're going to see the books that he's written. One of them, The Unseen Hand, The New World Order, Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity, Jesse James, United States Senator. So he's written numerous books, and he's also gotten a lot of DVDs out. He's been the guest of many programs. I've learned Ralph Epperson a long time ago, back in 1995, when I was going down to Estacada, Oregon, going down to the grocery store. And in the grocery store, they had like a little book place, and they had conspiratorial books there. And that's when I actually started learning the meat of what I know. Now, as far as biblical prophecy is concerned, this is all, I mean, he's not going to quote scripture every 5 seconds, I'm going to tell you that right now, which is a beautiful thing, but he's going to tell you what strictly the Bible say, not as far as scripture, but as far as what's in the subject, as far as one world government, boom, mark of the beast, boom, history, how we got to the point that people want a world government. How do we travel through history from the 1700s all the way up to now? And why? The Bible says that no man will buy or sell unless he had a mark, and that's in Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. If you read Revelation 17 and 18, it talks about Babylon, the return of Babylonian Empire. The world will be divided into 10 regions. When the Antichrist enters the temple and stops the sacrifices from running, he will divide the world up for gain. And he will divide the world up into what the Club of Rome said it would be a 10-region confederacy. Now, the beast that comes out of the sea will be, to my interpretation of the Bible, the Mediterranean Union that Nicolae Sarkozy talked about. Because if you notice, the tribulation comes when the beast is actually coming out of the sea. So after who believes in the rapture of the church, a lot of people say that they're going to fake it. I think they probably are planning on faking it. Well, what does that say that in literature? And literature that men who really control the world have written, that they're going to fake a disappearance. And if they do that, what if God takes people out, actually? What if he really takes it? It'd be funny as heck. They think they're going to fake it, and he actually takes people out. That would be the funniest thing in the world. Oh, crap. There really are people missing. Wow. That is crazy.
Crazy.
Wait, hold on.
Crazy!
That is crazy. You watch my videos, I have that on there. But anyway, let me bring Mr. Ralph Epperson. I am so happy to have him on here. Next week, I'm going to probably begin Anthony J. Hilder on. And Ray Comfort, we're trying to get Ray Comfort to come on the Blog Talk Radio program and get him on here. And I can sit up here for a while. Officer Jack McLam. I can just sit here for a long time. Pastor Bitch Paul. We're going to have a lot of people on here from Blog Talk Radio. I don't care who they are, as long as they believe that Jesus Christ is personal Savior and they got a message. If you got a message. But anyway, let's bring our guest on right now. Hello,
there?
Ralph. Hey, yes, how you doing, sir?
Can you can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? Everything's okay?
Yes, sir.
Well, fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I thought you were supposed to come on a little bit earlier, though, but that's fine.
I had every good intention, but I got a bunch of phone calls. I did a talk show from 5 to 7, and between then and the
wow.
time I was supposed to come on, I had other local phone calls, so I got sidetracked. And finally
yeah.
it dawned on me I was supposed to call you back, and that's what happened, so I finally did. But...
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Well, let's get started. Let's talk about the historical conspiratorial view of history.
Let me say this. We don't have much time. We're going to go until 9 o'clock. It's already 9:30.
Well, there actually, no. The time has changed. It says I got an hour and 30 minutes left, so you got to I'm even going to come to a point where I mute myself out, and you just go ahead and take it away. Matter of fact, I'll just do that right now. Do you think you can go 20 minutes straight without a commercial?
Oh, yeah, sure. We can talk.
Okay,
I want to make a point. I have been studying history for 40-some years, and I've discovered there is a conspiracy at work in this world, and it's 6,000 years old. It is as old as man. I want to also point out this is a young Earth. This Earth is not older than 6,000 years old, and I can prove that scientifically. So this conspiracy started with the creation of the universe back in Genesis.
Yeah.
And this conspiracy has a leader called Lucifer, Satan, the devil in the Bible. And
yeah,
that's why this nation is going where we're going. We're being led by people who believe that Lucifer is the true knowledge of deity. That's what my research has proven to me in 40 years of digging.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, what I want to point out is that our government is part of this process. Our founding fathers were not great Christian men. They believed, I cannot find any opposition, so I won't say everybody, but most of them believed that Lucifer was God. And when they talk about a creator, or they talk about the supreme being, they're talking about Lucifer, Satan, the devil. This nation was committed to Lucifer by our founding fathers. Now, let me point out to you, I live in Tucson, Arizona, and outside the city where I live is a theme park called Old Tucson. And it was made as a movie set for the movie Arizona back, I think, 1939 or 1940. And it sat out there till someone said, wait a minute, I can make some money on this. And he turned it into, first of all, a movie set. And they made, gosh, John Wayne came on, Frank Sinatra and Clint Eastwood. All the major stars have been to Bill Holden. They've all been out to Tucson to make Frank Sinatra, et cetera, to make movies. Dean Martin. They've all been out here to make movies. Now, here's the point.
Yeah.
As long as you walk down the main street of town, of this set, and that's what you're encouraged to do, those buildings are real.
Yeah.
But when you walk around back, you find out there's no ceiling, no walls, no floor.
Yeah.
But as long as the camera's in front of the building, it's real. You understand?
Yeah.
As long
yeah.
as we look at the Constitution the way we're taught, it's a fine document, and don't look around behind or the history of this nation, if you do that, you'll find out the evil that this nation was committed to by our founding fathers. Now, this is not pleasant. Understand, this is not fun. I don't like to say this. I've often joked that if Ralph Epperson, the one you're talking to today, could go back in the past and meet the Ralph Epperson that started this in 1962, started reading, and told him what he was going to believe in 40-some years later, that Ralph Epperson would have said, you're crazy. I don't want anything to do with that. Where did you get those ideas from? But I have been reading and studying for over 40 years. I've read over 1,000 books on both sides of this. I've written 4 books myself. I've debated this with people, pro and con. I've lectured all over the country. I've done hundreds, if not 500-600 talk shows in the last 10 years. I do everything I can to educate. I'm writing, making my VHS videos into DVDs right now as we speak, to get people to understand where this nation is going. I'm sure you know this. If you take a concordance, do a Bible study of the word Jesus, and you get every time the word is used, it's used 900 and some times. I've forgotten the exact number. But here's the point. The Bible uses the two words good and evil over 1,500 times. So that Bible is not only about salvation, it's also about what is right and wrong.
Yeah.
What is good and what is evil. And we are told repeatedly in the scriptures, to avoid evil, to run from it, flee from it, have no sup with it. We're not to do evil. And yet this nation's doing evil. Why are we not stopping it? That's the question. You just talked, I heard you talk about it a few minutes ago. This nation no longer, I'll give you an example. There was a Frenchman by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville who came here, I think, 1820 or 1830, something like that. And he was charged by the French government to tour the country and find out why we had no prisons.
Uh-huh.
And he studied America for 6 months or a year and wrote a book called Democracy in America. It's a brilliant book because he was really a historian who documented and talked to people on all levels and then wrote his book. And here's what he said. The reason that the nation does not have prisons, apparently France was building them so fast they couldn't keep up with them. Even then they couldn't keep up with it. He said, America is great because America is good. When America ceases to be good, it will cease to be great. He went on to point out, the reason America is great or good is because the churches are aflame with righteous indignation. Mm. I don't think our churches are aflame with righteous indignation anymore.
No.
When was the last time you heard? Look at this. Abortion is one of the worst possible sins that we can commit, but it's been our law since 1973. Why? Wow. That Supreme Court decision should have been overturned within 20 minutes after it passed. Congress has the ability to stop it. It's not happened. In fact, our government is funding abortions.
Yeah.
Those of us who pay our taxes, the money that we is taken from us is being used to kill babies. I don't favor that, but I have no choice in the matter.
Now they go over to China and do it too.
Yes, but that's my point. Why are we not aflame with righteous indignation about evil and sin?
Yeah, we should be ticked off.
You, there's something. Yeah, and I believe our position as Christians has been weakened by the influx of this Luciferian conspiracy into our church. And I think they bought off seminaries, and those seminaries are teaching pastors that Jesus really wasn't divine, or he didn't quite was born of a virgin, or when he died on the cross, he really didn't die. He was in a stupor, and he didn't resurrect. The disciples took his body. All of this is what they're told, and that's partially what's happening to America today. But I'm telling you, this conspiracy is relentless. This nation is going someplace because of our founding fathers. And if I may do this, if we can, you want to have some fun, let's look at this. Let's see if we can find some evidence that this nation was committed to Lucifer by our founding fathers.
Well, can I ask you a question? Actually, let me follow something. I think this is just me, my personal opinion, but I believe that if you look at the Constitution, if you look at the writings of the forefathers, if you want to call them that, if you look at all the principles that these guys had in a lot of their literature, even the Bill of Rights, I'm pretty sure you'll find that this was set up to be a just be patient when I'm saying a Christian nation. Now, the reason why I say what I'm gonna say is this: I believe when someone catches cancer, and I pray for you if you do catch cancer, or somebody gets the flu, and say like the flu, you don't know it yet, but the flu is gonna turn into pneumonia. It's gonna kill you. Okay, there's a process there. If your house, let's say your house that has termites. It started off with very few termites. Now all of a sudden it has a lot of termites. Now it's biting your wood, and next thing you know, your house needs to be sold or burned down. Okay, it was a process. Okay, I believe that this is just me. You can refute me or whatever. This nation started off as a Christian nation, and I think cancer took its cult. And I hate using, let me use another word, the erosion of these secret societies came in, and they are sort of, now I'm not saying some of those founding fathers were not demonically, they loved Lucifer. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but a lot of those guys were good. I'm gonna say good men. I mean, that's just what I see. I mean, because you won't have this country. This country would not have that much. The unusual thing about this country is that's different from the Babylonian Empire, that's different from the Roman Empire, that's different from Alexander or whatever, is that this country allows its citizens to walk down the street and do what they want to do as long as you don't break the law. And our law keeps people intact. If Satan, if the house divided against itself would not stand. So if Satan, if they were worshiping Lucifer early on, we would have been had abortion. We'd have been, I mean, thanks be to Jesus, thanks be to God that he stops all that stuff. But it's a process. And the process happens to be just dynamically powerful right now. The process that Lucifer is today on television, I can't even control my own 8-year-old kid no more, because he has cable in his room, and I'm sorry to go off the path, but the symptoms are a danger to people to watch. I mean, anytime you take a cat takes an X and chops a human being's head off or chops his other buddy's head off, that right there is violence. We just don't look at it that way because we're numb as a society. So the culture has become very evil. In Second Timothy 2, chapter 3, has explained the society. It says a man should be lovers of self, proud, boasters, disrespectful to parents, and keep it going and going. So the founding fathers actually set up a decent legislation. The Constitution was actually decent. Well, so they were Lucifer's friend at the time. If they were Lucifer's friend at the time, Satan does not want the human race to be happy. So he likes to bring depression. He likes to bring evil. He likes to have a man molest his daughter. He loves that kind of stuff. He hates human beings. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just you're the guest.
I was trying to point out we can see the evidence that America is a Luciferian country. It's very simple.
No, not yet. It is. Yes. Yes. Now.
Okay. In other words, no. Here's, if I may say this. Understand, this is the most revolutionary thought that I've got, because I never believed this until I found the evidence that our founding fathers were evil. When I read the Constitution, when I started back 40 years ago, I never believed that it was divinely inspired, but I thought it was the finest collection of thoughts put together by a group of men ever written, because I believe the Bible is inspired by God, but the Constitution is not. Until I found the flaw that gave Congress absolute dictatorial power, and it goes back to 1787. It's in the Constitution. Our founding fathers gave Congress unlimited, total, despotic, tyrannical power. They got it from the founding fathers. It's in the Constitution. Now, that's what we need to talk about. If you want to discuss this, we should do that right now, because it's very important that the American people hear me and listen and learn that there's something going on in this country, and I know what it is.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Then we'll talk about it.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays, 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does. And
warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming. America's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
We're back. I never know if there's going to be another commercial. I need to learn my own commercials. But I was actually, the reason why we had so many commercials is because I was trying to understand what they were talking about in the chat room. But I still, it's kind of interesting. But anyway, let's get one thing straight. As far as the people who listen to these archives, is God is a jealous God, and Jesus is, the Bible says in Colossians that Jesus is the creator of all and everything. Basically, God is mad at the wicked all the time. So the secret societies who are running this place, if you read Isaiah, I think it's chapter 5, I'm not sure, chapter, the early part of Isaiah, my brain is like, I'm tired today, but the first part of Isaiah, and you're going to read that these guys, these men, are asking the rocks to fall on them because they go up in those big mountain ridges and they hide themselves from the one that's coming on the clouds, the spoken of the Jude, when he says, I saw the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. And in Revelation chapter 20, 21, they see 19, they see Jesus coming, so they go into the caves and ask the rocks to hide on them. So God is mad at them. He's coming to seek. He's gonna. And the bad thing is that Satan, the Antichrist and the false prophet, beat Satan to the lake of fire. And it says that Satan's finally thrown into the lake of fire where the Antichrist and the false prophet are. And listen to the terminology "are." That means. And as far as time is concerned, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. Jesus sits out of time. He's created time. That's why it says, I am. He says, who should we say sent us? I am sent you. Wow, that's deep. So when you listen to it, it says that the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire, and that Satan follows them, and he's thrown into the lake of fire where the Antichrist and the false prophet are. That's deep. And hell is eternal fire. So these guys who think they run everything is going to be thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. It does not run out of time. So when we're talking about these people that really run the world, only God knows about the founding fathers, but we do know that there is a, and if you read the book of James chapter 5, it talks about the rich man holding the money back from the hirers. And if you look at Walmart Corporation, they're doing that pretty much, because I've talked to a few people. Walmart's right down the street from my house. And these people got some stories. I'm telling you, I went to purchase, and I'll get back to it, I guess, in a second. I went to go purchase something, and I felt like a complete jackwad when I was standing in a line, and my car would not work on their machine. And I did punch in the numbers the wrong way one time. But the thing is, the lady was getting very mad at me because she thought I was the one punching in the numbers all the time bad. So they need to go buy some new machines. So they're too busy not buying new machines, where I go down the street to a gas station who got decent machines. Now, you multi-billion dollar empire, and you can't buy new machines? Oh, that's right. You're not only taking from the customers, you're taking from your workers, because you give them a nickel raise. You're telling them they're expendable. So the globalists, believe it or not, I'm not calling Walmart globalists, but they're right in front of your face. I mean, they're right there taking your money. And James chapter 5 says that one day God will strike vengeance on those who have held back. And the individuals as well. Me too. If I hold back on my collectors, and right now I'm straightening out my stuff because I want my house in order before it's too late. And we are headed to a one-world government, if you didn't know by now. And if a lot of people think that I'm not going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to spread it, and I'm going to continue to spread it because he's my Savior, and he has to be in order for us to go to heaven. But anyway, let's get back to our guest, Ralph.
Okay, well, I'm trying to make the point.
Okay.
Okay, I'm trying to make the point. I'm hearing an echo. Is that?
Oh, let me go ahead. Go ahead and talk.
Well, I'm hearing an echo. I'm hearing me, and now it appears to be gone. I'm trying to point out that my research has revealed to me, after years of study, I didn't learn this quite right away, our founding fathers placed a flaw in our Constitution that gave Congress absolute total power, and that is the government running this nation today. For instance, I'm working on a DVD about Vietnam. And our government set up, planned that war in 1945, our planned war. John Kennedy learned about the plan later to turn it into an actual war, and when he issued orders to start return of the soldiers back to America to withdraw. We're not going to have a war. He was sent to Dallas, and we had the war. Lyndon Johnson rescinded his orders. That war was fought for 7 or 8 years. Our government supplied the enemy with the weapons to kill our own soldiers. That's called premeditated murder. And we Christians sent our family members to fight in that war. Why? Why did the churches not tell us the truth? Why?
Yeah.
It's a matter of easily provable evidence. I'm doing it right now on my DVD. I found the evidence that we killed our own children. Our own, we Christians did this to our own children. Where is that in the Bible? Not.
Yeah.
Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments, one of which is, thou shalt not murder. Yet we sent our children to a war and then sent the enemy the gun to kill him with for 8 years. Why? Why? Why were the churches not aflame with righteous indignation? because this nation was being used for a totally different reason. And that's what this video is going to be about when I get it finished. I'm telling you, there's something going on in this country, and it's being done by Lucifer, Satan, the devil, and the Christian church is doing nothing about it, not that I can find. I've been a Christian since 1973. I serve Jesus. I believe that God has called me to my work. I don't have a burning bush or a road to Damascus. But I look back on my life, and I say every time I needed the next bit of information, it was provided. I have found some terrible things that scare the bejabbers out of me, but it's true. There is something going on in this nation, and we Christians are not becoming righteously indignant. Why?
Yes, we should be angry, mad, boiling red. If you dark, complex like me, you should be red still.
The Bible says they make haste to shed blood. Whose blood? Our blood. We Christians are doing this. We allowed our children to go to war in Vietnam, and then we sent our allowed our government to send them the guns to kill them with. Why would we do that? Well, we didn't know. Well, why didn't we know? Why did the churches not inform these parents and fathers and husbands and wives to not let their children go to war?
Okay.
Now, let's go back. Can we spend a few minutes on some of the evidence that this nation was committed to Lucifer?
Yeah, go for it.
Let's go for this. Now, please be open to you and your listeners. We're going to examine the back of the dollar bill.
Okay.
Not the front, the back. What's that all about? I would dare say, in 1985, when I started talking about these two circles on the back of the dollar bill, there was nobody talking about it. I couldn't find anybody. And I started the research by explaining what some of those things meant. And the more that I dug into it, the more that I found out the whole thing is replete with symbols of Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Let's start simply. Let's go to the back of the dollar bill, and let me ask the question. We'll get an answer because I can't. I couldn't hear it, but I would dare say that probably only 1 in 100, if not more, 1 in 500, has any idea what those things mean. Why? Those are called the Great Seal of the United States.
Yeah.
They were adopted by our founding fathers unanimously in 1782, and so over 200 years ago. Why do we Americans not know what they mean? Why? It's our Great Seal. I was not taught this in school. Okay, let's go to the left-hand side first. What's the pyramid all about? Why do we have a pyramid on the back of it? Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
What's
that's,
it about?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Secondly, why is the eye above the pyramid and not on top? What does that mean? What does annuit coeptus novus ordo seclorum mean? Why is it Latin? Why?
Yeah.
We don't speak Latin anymore. He never spoke Latin. Why do we have a Latin phrase in it? How many people in America speak Latin? Not very many. Annuit means announcing, or the announcement of, announcing, it's Latin. Coeptus means, or septus, I pronounce it septus, but some others pronounce it coeptus. Annuit septus, coeptus rather, means the birth of, coeptus, the birth, the conception of.
Yeah.
Now, novus is new. Ordo is order, seclorum is world, announcing the birth of, or the conception of, the New World Order, 1782. Now, wait a minute, Ralph. It was not common at all until George Bush mentioned it in 1990. No, our founding fathers committed this nation to the New World Order in 1782 when they unanimously approved the Great Seal of the United States. Why would they do that?
Ralph,
where was the opposition?
No. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Go ahead and continue on. I'm going to do something right quick. Just go ahead and continue on for about 10 minutes straight. Can you do that?
Okay. Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Go ahead. I'm going to mute myself first.
You're going to do what? I didn't hear what he said, so he said talk for 10 minutes. Okay, I'll try to do that. Now let's go to the other side. why does the eagle have 32 feathers in its left wing and 33 feathers in its right wing? Why is the eagle looking towards the right side? What is that star above the pyramid, above the eagle's head all about? It's called a burst. And if you if you'll notice, it's 13 five-pointed stars forming a six-pointed star. And we're going to use that in a minute. Now, that's not the six-pointed star of David, the Jewish star, because it goes back before that. Well, what is it? What's it for? We're going to use it in a minute. Now, notice that the bird, there's all sorts of 13s all over the place, 13 stars and 13 bars and 13 stripes and 13 berries and 13 leaves and talons and arrows and everything else, 13. What does that number signify? Why 13? Oh, because of the states? No, not at all. Now let's go back to the eagle. We're going to now take. If you can draw mentally in your mind, draw that the six-pointed star and its lines, and you'll notice that you've drawn two triangles, one pointing up and one pointing down. Now we're going to pick it up and transport it over to the pyramid side and lay it down, and you're going to notice that it fits. And it fits on the point at the very top, fits right over the eye in the pyramid. That's the first triangle. It goes down to the base of the pyramid in a triangle, one side over to left, one side right, and that's the first triangle. And the second one has the point right above the second O in Ordo. So now we've got the six-pointed star on the back of the dollar bill, and it's going to reveal to us who designed the Great Seal. Now notice that at about 10 o'clock, the star points to the letter A, and then at noon, it points to a blank space, no letter, and then at 2 o'clock approximately, it points to the S in Coeptus. So we got A, S so far, and then down about 8 o'clock, it points to the letter N in Novos. And then at 6 o'clock, it points to the second O in Ordo. And then over the other side, it points to the M in Seclorum, meaning the 4 o'clock. So now we've got five letters, A, S, N, O, M. Now there's a word in our dictionary called an anagram. And an anagram is a code where you take the letters and scramble them. So A, S, N, O, M is an anagram, concealing the name of the group that designed our Great Seal. A-S-N-O-M is an anagram for M-A-S-O-N, Masons. The Masons. This is the Masons. The Masons did this. Let me give you one more proof. The eagle has 32 feathers on its left wing and 33 on the right, and the bird's looking towards the right. Now, the man who designed it did that. That's not a mistake. God doesn't make eagles with one more feather on one wing than he does on the other. There's a balance. So something's wrong. No, it's not wrong. 32 degrees in the Masonic Lodge, and then the 33rd, which runs Masonry worldwide. Now, one more thing. That means that the Masons, the clues are there, that the Masons were the ones who committed this nation to the birth of the New World Order. It's not new. It's at least 200 and some years old. Now, in 1985, when I toured the country in 91 cities and 31 states with my first book, The Unseen Hand, I went on a speaking tour. I was showing slides of the Great Seal in 1985, and I was warning the people about this Novus Ordo Seclorum, the New World Order. I didn't know much more than that, but I was saying, watch that. It's something new, and this was five years before George Bush mentioned the phrase in 1990.
Yeah.
So George Bush,
I remember your CD that I got one of your lecture series, and you were talking about the chapels and on the military posts were shaped like a pyramid. And when I was based in Fort Sill, that was surely did. There were pyramid shaped chapels, and I asked myself a question, just like you asked yourself a question about the dollar bill. Why is there a pyramid on the dollar bill? I asked myself a question. why are there pyramids on the in the military chapels? Why can't you just build regular sized buildings? I couldn't get that. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, now let's talk about the pyramid.
Yep.
I want to point out to you that there has been a worship of the sun god all over the earth. Almost every culture, every nation, every, not all, but many, on every continent has been worshiping the sun. The pyramid that this dollar bill pyramid is a symbol of is the Pyramid of Giza, called the Great Pyramid of Giza, outside of Cairo, Egypt. It was built by the pharaoh Khufu. And Khufu did not build that pyramid as a tomb for he and his wife. The first guy into the tomb was some sheik who decided there'd be a treasure in there, and he tried to get in. He heated the rocks with fire and then threw cold water on it, and that cracked him. And he was able to get some of the rocks out and got in, and there was no casket, no mummy, no jewels, nothing. The rooms were empty because the pyramid is and still is a temple of initiation into the ancient mystery worship of the sun.
Yeah.
Amun-Ra was a sun god. Osiris was a sun god. All of the Egyptian pharaohs worshipped the sun.
Mm-hmm.
This is a temple to initiate men into the worship of Lucifer, Satan, the devil, concealed by the sun.
Wow.
That's what it is. And that's why it's on our dollar bill. The eye above the pyramid is the eye of Lucifer that sees everything. And it's above the pyramid because it has not taken up residence inside the pyramid yet. When that eye symbolically lands, then the New World Order will no longer be a baby or a young adult. It'll be a full adult, and we will live under this New World Order.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about. Now, notice this is not. This doesn't sound like a bunch of Christians doing this to me. You understand? Now, let's go back. This nation was founded by Christians. The people who came here first, not the Indians, but the people who came here, the settlers at Jamestown and Plymouth Rock, were basically fundamentalist Christians. Now, we might disagree with some of their views, but when they came here, they were setting this nation up, as you pointed out correctly, with a belief in God. But shortly after they came here, another group came here called the Order of the Quest. I found that inside the Masonic literature. And their job was to slowly develop this nation into a worship of Lucifer. And they concealed that inside symbols, buildings, phrases, you name it, in the Constitution itself.
Talk about the fast shot. What's the fast shot? When the president is giving an address on the right, the left and right side is a fast shot. You can elaborate on it a little bit later. Yeah, you can finish what you're saying and then come back to that.
Okay, now, this nation was committed by our founding fathers secretly amongst the Masons into a worship of Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Now, how can we prove that? It's very easy to do. When you read, the Masons tell you to read and study and reflect, and I've done that. I've never been a Mason. I'm not a Mason. I've read their books. I didn't steal one. I bought them either in used bookstores or I bought them from a Mason up in Montana who was selling them to anybody, the public, and I bought them and read them. I've read their something like 50 of their number one books, the top authors inside the Masonic Lodge, including the books written by Albert Pike, he was called the Sovereign Grand Commander of the entire worldwide Masonic organization. There's a statue of Albert Pike in Washington, D.C. Now, the interesting about that some people have pointed out, is that there are no Southerners having a statue in Washington, D.C., except Albert Pike. He was a Confederate general during the Civil War.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting? But he's not there because he was a general. He was there because the statue says he was the leader of the worldwide Masonic movement. And that man told us in his own literature that there is a secret inside of Masonry. I've discovered what it is. I've made it public in my second book called The New World Order, and I especially made it revealed it in my third book called Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity, because I want you to understand this. Even if you're a Mason listening to me, if you have not discovered the secret inside the lodge that the Masons take an oath to destroy Christianity, you have not done your homework. That is, quote, according to Albert Pike, the man who wrote your rituals, that is the, quote, true purpose, unquote, of Masonry, and it's revealed at the 30th degree. There are 32 degrees inside the lodge, and then the 33rd is honorary. You're invited into that one. But you can earn all 32 degrees on your own. Masons, there's something inside your lodge that you don't know about, but I'm telling you, it's very sinister. It's not good.
Yeah.
Now, I want you, I'm sure you would agree with me, Phil, that the Bible says that the universe did not exist until it was created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so do I. And by the way, science proves that. It proves that this earth is young. I've been having fun with evolutionists trying to show them that the earth, and all of the science that where it's measured shows the earth is not older than 6 to 8,000 years old, not millions, not billions of years old. The universe is not billions of years old. It was created no more than 8,000 years ago, probably around 6, which is all the time it takes with the Bible, putting the dates in the Bible in sequence. Now,
yeah.
The Masons, Albert Pike wrote, to believe that the universe was created out of nothing is to believe a monstrous absurdity. Do you know what the Bible says, who the Bible says created the universe? It's Jesus.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
The true?
Colossians chapter 1, yeah.
What does it say? Can you do it from memory?
It says, by Jesus all things were created, and without him nothing was created.
Now,
it also says in John, First John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And hello?
I'm there. Go ahead.
Okay. Something happened to my Skype. But anyway, it says in First John, it says, actually, the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and by him all things, you know, it talks about God is the creator of all things.
There are Masons who claim that Masonry is a Christian organization. Wait a minute. If Jesus created the universe, and Albert Pike, the man who was the leader of the worldwide Masonic movement for 32 years, the man who wrote your ritual says, to believe that the universe came forth from nothing is to believe a monstrous absurdity. He's denying Jesus.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't it? He's saying that Jesus, there is no creation, because to believe that there was a creation out of nothing is a monstrous absurdity. He just repudiated the entire Bible. If you're a Christian and you're a Mason, explain that to me, please. Now, here's the point. Our founding fathers were Masons. The majority of them were. 23 of the 39 men who signed the Constitution were members of the Masons, according to the Masons.
Yeah.
Now, why did they? By the way, 23 part of 39 is, of course, a clear majority.
Yeah.
So 39 would be about 18 or 19, maybe 20 would be a majority, and they had 23. So they could do whatever the Masons wanted. That's what they were there for.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about why it's important to a Christian to know more about Masonry. Let's go through briefly the rituals. When the Mason joins the lodge, he walks in the door, and it's called the Blue Lodge. By the way, the Masons do not prepare the initiate before the ritual. He has no knowledge about what's going to happen to him. He walks in and he says, we're going to make you into what they call an entered apprentice. That's the first degree of the Masonic Lodge.
Yep.
So you say, okay, I want to be a Mason. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take you in. you're not going to be prepared. We're going to put you through a ritual.
Yeah.
Now, during the first degree, the man is blindfolded, and he comes before, I believe he's still blindfolded. It's not essential. He might not be. But anyway, let's say it this way. He's brought before, I'm going to call him the president, just for the sake of argument, the president of the lodge, by the vice president. And the president asks the vice president, what is it you seek for this initiate? And the vice president answers, light, L-I-G-H-T, light, like in the light of a light bulb or a sun or a moon, light. Now, he doesn't explain what it is. So then, at the second degree, the same thing happens. The president asks the vice president, what do you seek for this man? And the vice president says, more light. So in other words, we got light, beginning light, some, we're going to get more in the second degree. And in the third degree, it happens again. Except this time, the vice president says, further light. Okay? Yeah. Now, the guy says, oh, I don't know what light is. Oh, it must be the truth about Jesus or God or something. That's what it is. Until the end of the third degree. At the end of the third degree, the Mason is told that the light represents the true knowledge of deity. Huh? Wait a minute. I thought I got that in the my Bible.
Uh-huh.
And wait a minute. Why are you saying the true knowledge? Or do you mean that there's a concealed secret that the God of the Bible isn't really the God? Is that? Oh, they can't mean that. So of course not. And they don't explain. That's it. Once you stop, you can stop and spend the rest of your life in the Blue Lodge. It's called the first three degrees, and you'll be called a Master Mason. But from that point on, that's when you learn what it means.
Yes.
You used to be given a book called Morals and Dogma. By the way, you want me to talk about this?
Yes, sir. Go for it.
Okay. You sure? Okay. This is controversial stuff. But notice I'm trying to document it. If you get the book called Morals and Dogma, read page 321. Here's what you'll read. Lucifer, the light bearer, is it he who bears the light? Doubt it not. End of quote. That's a quote. I'm not making that up. Page 321 of Morals and Dogma. Now, wait a minute. You were just told that the light represents the true knowledge of deity. And then you go and you learn that Lucifer is the light bearer. By the way, the word Lucifer is a Latin name. Lucis means light. And F-E-R-R-E, I don't know how to pronounce it, Ferre, I don't know. We'll say Ferre. Lucis Ferre is light, and then Ferre means bearer, bringer, light bringer. Lucifer, the light bearer. So Albert Pike is right. Lucifer, the light bearer, is it he who bears the light? Doubt it not. Now, you're supposed to, as a Mason, connect thought number one, which you ask for light, thought number two, which is that you were taught that it's the true knowledge of deity, and then thought number three is that Lucifer's the light bearer.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to conclude on your own that Lucifer is the true knowledge of deity. Lucifer is a god. This is where, Christian, did you hear what I just said? I don't understand. Why are you Christians in the Luciferian where you're learning that Lucifer is the true God? You don't get the true knowledge of deity in your Bible or from your pastor or from your synagogue or your rabbi. You get it in the Masonic Lodge, and you just got it. Then Albert Pike points out in Morals and Dogma that if you don't see the secret, he calls you ignorant. Wait a minute. I don't see the secret, and my brother just called me ignorant, huh? That's not very nice, brother. You understand?
Yeah.
This is, and 23 of the 39 signers of the Constitution were Masons. 15 of our presidents have been Masons. I'll give you one example. It happened to me personally. I won't name anything. I'll just tell you the story. But there was a picture in my paper when Bob Dole was running for the presidency, and it was Bob Dole speaking at a Christian school in some Midwestern state. I'm not going to reveal. I don't want anyone to put it together. It's not important. But anyway, there it is. He's in a patio of a school, And Bob Dole is there standing in a little concrete slab, and there's people all around him. Well, you can only see two sides, of course. But they're sitting on chairs, or they're looking out the windows of the building, or they're sitting on the grass, and Bob Dole speaking. And the article points out that he came there to speak during the campaign to this Christian school. And so I said, I want to call the pastor. So I picked up the phone, and not the pastor, the principal, because I don't know whether the pastor would be principal or not. So I called, and I said, hello. I got the name out of the name was in the article, so I got the name and the city, and I said, well, I can find that on the phone. And I sure enough, I called information, or got the number, and I called the church, and I said, a lady answered, I said, I'd like to speak to the principal. So click, click. Hi there. I said, who is this? It's Pastor Jones. I said, Pastor, are you also the principal? Oh, yes, that's part of my job as well. I said, Pastor, I'm very interested in this story about how Bob Dole came to speak to your school, your Christian school.
Yeah.
And I said, I told him I was Ralph Epperson. I was a born-again Christian. I'm in Tucson, Arizona. And so I witnessed to him, let him know that I'm a brother and we can talk, and I hope he would, accept that. So he said, well, Bob Dole's I know the guy that's the campaign manager for Bob Dole in my city, and he called me and said, Bob's coming up this way. Would you like him to speak to your church? And I said, sure, have him come. Or your school. So he did. He came during the day. The sun was out, so during the noontime recess, I guess. And there's the picture. I said, now, Pastor, may I ask you a question? I said, how much do you know about the Masons? He said, I don't know very much. I said, no. I said, Pastor, may I? Please, you'll have to trust me on this. But I can tell you that I've written a book that shows in their own rituals that Masons at the 30th degree take a sword in their hands and vow to destroy Christianity. 30th degrees. And I can show you the evidence from the Masons themselves that Bob Dole is a 33rd degree Mason, which means he went through the 30th degree.
Yeah.
So I said, Pastor, why would you allow a man to come to speak to your school that's taken a vow to destroy your school and your faith? I don't understand. Well, I don't remember what he said, but he said, well, we came, and all he did was talk about his campaign. And I said, well, okay. I said, here's what I'd like to suggest you do, Pastor. Since I've written this book, I'll send you a copy of it. You can read it, and after you finish reading it, let me come to your school and present the other side. Because this is a Christian school, and you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, and let me show you from their own literature. I'll bring the books, we can all read together, and I'll show you that I'm right.
Yeah.
Oh, he said, I don't think I can do that. What? I understand. This is the greatest threat to Christianity ever devised by mankind, and the Christians don't want to hear it. Why is that? Because there are Masons, and I presume every organization, every church in America.
Yeah.
I just read where a woman, I don't read the obituaries, but I scan them, and there's this pretty woman, and she passed away at a young age, and I said, I'm going to read the story when maybe I do her a daughter or mother or somebody, and it's down the bottom, it says she's a member of the Eastern Star, and the Eastern Star is the Masonic group for the women in the Masons.
Mm.
And she was a member of the so-and-so Lutheran church in her hometown. I said, wait a minute. And now, I have documentation, a book written by 90 Masons, high-ranking 32nd, 33rd degree Masons, and they show the star with one point down, and they say it is the star of Lucifer, Satan, the devil, and that's the symbol of the Eastern Star for the women inside of Masonry.
Yeah.
In fact, it's on a Bible that I have.
Wow.
Why would they put a star that's a Lucifer star on the cover of a King James Version in the Masonic, I have a copy of the Masonic Bible. It was given to me by a man who was not a Mason, but it was given to him at Christmas time by where he worked. Everybody draws one name out of a hat, and he got someone drew his name and said that he saw that he was a Christian reading the Bible, so he gave him a copy of the King James Version of Masonic. It's the Masonic edition of the King James Version. I said, why? Why would they put that on the cover of the, I don't understand. Well, anyway, the pastor never invited me, never heard from him again, so I just don't know. I don't understand his answer. I don't understand why he wouldn't say, well, I've never heard this before. If you can prove this, I want, send me the book. I want to look at it. And if it's real, I want my church member, my students to know this. They're high school. They should know this.
Yeah.
So they don't join the Masons. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, it's so much worse than that. Now, if you wanted to, we've got, you said we can go to 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock?
Yeah, we're going to go to, Well, let me take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, in the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end-time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Join me, Phil Armstrong, on Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
That was a technical bleep. It's called hitting the wrong button. And then I noticed that the date, it was Sunday and Saturday. And I'm like, just not figuring that. Wow, Saturday. I didn't know I come on Saturday. I must get up sleepwalking and come down here and prepare a show or something. I'm just being funny. But anyway, we are talking about awesome, important information that we're in this type of show, it is important to know that there is a sinister scheme. When Jesus was caught, they got him and they took him to the cross. Satan was involved, of course. However, it was a what you call a conspiracy, because they were trying to trap him, and they decided that we're going to get this guy. And a lot of people think about conspiracy as something that is sinisterly wrong. In that case, it is. But if you were to throw your daughter a surprise birthday party, are you conspiring to, I mean, you would consider that a conspiracy? Well, to know that it is, everybody that's considered, that thinks that the world is ran by a few men are considered conspiracy freaks. Or to think that there's a sinister scheme that Washington, D.C. is shaped like the Satanic Star, or the Federal Reserve is a demonic occult that runs our financial institutions. Or the dollar bill says the new acceptus order seclorum, announcing the birth of a new order. And then there's all kinds of signs. CBS has an eyeball for a – oh, that's no big deal. Yes, it is. AOL has a sinister cultic symbol, Shell gas station. A lot of your organizations, Kentucky Fried Chicken, just can't help it, but I'm pretty sure Corner Sanders would, well, at least I heard he was saved. So people like that, you know, they're not going to do that. But there are a lot of cultic symbols in our society, and even the Simpsons have, and then people think it's funny. Oh, let me laugh at Homer being chosen one with a mark on his right hip. I mean, society is being hoodwinked from these people who run the world, who own the stations. They own these stations, and they have a CIA agent right in the station telling them now after 9/11, telling them what you have to put on your station. Oh, you didn't know? So my thing is, okay, you got Fox and you got, let's just use Fox and CNN. They're supposed to be two different types of views, but they're not. I mean, eventually, everybody was pretty much happy. Even Fox was pretty darn happy when President Obama won the White House. Now, I would be happy. I was actually happy to see a black man in office, but I studied what was going on, and I know right after he gets in office what was going to start happening. I say, what's going to start happening? Well, God had, like my brother said earlier, God has President Obama in this place for a reason, if it's good or bad. Is he behind the secret society? You won't be president unless you have some knowledge of globalism. Listen to him. Go online and listen to President Obama as he goes over to the Europe and give these supposedly, oh, we are one world, neighbors and friends. And only thing he didn't say is what George Bush said in 1991. Announcing the birth, this is a new world order. That's the only thing he didn't say differently. But he is for a one world government. A President Obama is a socialist. Now, do I pray for him? Yes, we have to pray for him. You know, but what we're talking about today is we're not coming verbatim out of the Bible, but the new world order will be a composite of these organizations that we're talking about today. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, that's fine. I understand exactly what you're saying. But listen, there's a real question that we can use to show you that the Constitution is null and void. We can use Obama.
Okay.
Okay, let's go now to a fellow by the name of Philip Berg. Maybe you've heard this story. I can hear that echo again. I don't know if that matters.
Okay, let me turn mine down a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay. Philip Berg is an attorney. And in 2008, he filed a suit in the Supreme Court to ask them to determine whether or not Obama is eligible to become president of the United States. There is a question that he was not born in the United States. The Constitution says, quote, the president shall be natural born, unquote. What does that mean? Born inside the 50 states. There is a question that Obama was born in Kenya. His father took he and his wife, not his wife, meaning Obama's wife, he and the father's wife to Kenya. He is a member of a tribe there in Kenya, and there's a bunch of pictures taken of his family and Obama there when he was, looks like a relatively young man, maybe high school, maybe college age, maybe plus or minus. And yes. So there. Now, the grandmother, meaning his Obama's grandmother, meaning the mother of his father, has said that Obama was born in Kenya. His father's half-brother and half-sister have also testified that Obama was born in Kenya. Now, I'm not here to say he was or was not, but if there's a question, we have the right as citizens of the United States to demand that we get an answer. Was he born in the United States? Because if he wasn't, he can't be president.
Yes.
Because the Constitution says you've got to be natural born. Now, I didn't write that. That was written over 200 years ago. Why? No. We want Americans at the head of our ship. That's okay. What's wrong with that? We don't want Algerians or people from, I don't think anything wrong about Algerians, but I'm using that for an example, foreigners running our country. We want a president, someone who's born in our nation, grown up in the traditions and the history of our nation. Okay. Now, Philip Berg was on a talk show just about the time of the inauguration a year ago, January of 2009. And I got in as a caller, just like I did today. I called in. I said, Mr. Berg, the host said, go ahead. I said, Mr. Berg, I want to thank you for what you're doing. It's a very courageous move, but I want you to know you will never get an answer from the Supreme Court. You will never. I said, never, Mr. Berg. Well, I didn't say it then. I said, Mr. Berg, you'll never get an answer. He said, why? I said, Mr. Berg, please, you're not going to believe me. You're going to laugh at me and call me, but please, we need to talk. It takes a few minutes, and I don't have much time because I know you're going to leave in a couple, 3 minutes, and I've only got that time to explain to you. But this station knows me. They know how to reach me. Hang on. Don't hang up, and the producer will give you my name and number. But I want you to know, Mr. Berg, here's the reason. The Supreme Court has overturned the Constitution and nulled it and voided it in 1938. The Constitution does not exist anymore. The Supreme Court has ruled that. How can they do that? Because the founding fathers gave them that power in 1787. That's what I've been referring to since we started talking. Our founding fathers gave this Congress total power, unlimited. There is no constitution. But they formalized it in a case of the Supreme Court in 1938 called the Erie Railroad versus Tompkins case. The Supreme Court, the Constitution, but I said, now here, Mr. Berg, notice this. In other words, and I said, the judges have been told, instructed, to take silent judicial notice of that fact. Now, that's, by the way, we use Webster's Dictionary. That's the one we use to define words. The lawyers have their own dictionary called Black's Law Dictionary, black, like the color Black's Law Dictionary. And you go there and you say, what does judicial silent judicial notice means? And I'm going to put it in my vernacular. It means you can't tell the dummies. So here's what you're doing, Mr. Berg. You're asking them to tell you that he can be president because the Constitution is null and void, and they're not going to say that.
Whoa.
So you're not going to get an answer.
Well,
now,
he's going to be he's going to be in a very let me turn his mic up. He's going to be in a very, and I hate to say it like this, and it's going to be kind of wrong. It'll be sad to say it this way, but to make a long story short, I pretty soon it's not going to really matter if he was born in America or not, because if a neutron bomb goes off in a major city, and or something, another 9/11 happens, nobody's ever going to even care anymore. Unless he gets to a point where the citizens revolt, and a lot of the truthers and a lot of the saints are going to rise up. Well, I don't know about the saints, because they're going to do exactly, they're going to try to spread the gospel. But in order to spread the gospel, you're going to have to be able to defend yourself. So, make a long story short, I think that President Obama will or the next president will usher in the tribulation period, which will be martial law at the highest level. And if a neutron bomb goes off in a major city, you think Americans, we're going to mostly sing Kumbaya and put flags on our car for another 6 months and join in. And that's understandable. But I think pretty soon we're going to find out if history ever goes on any further. Oh, which the Bible says it won't. If we were able to go on 100 years, people would be looking at history and saying, wow, we let a guy from Kenya become the president, and it's going to be in the books. Yes, he was from Kenya, and this is what happened. The United States fell. Now, is it his fault that it fails? No, it's a globalist agenda from way back when. But is he part of it? Yes.
Yes.
He won't become president unless he was. Ask him why he was at the Bilderberger meeting.
Yes.
Go ahead, brother.
No, your point's well taken. He is there because the conspiracy wants him there. Let's go back to 1992, and then we'll come back to Obama. On the night of July the 16th, 1992, Bill Clinton, president, not yet, but at the Democratic convention on national television, told the American people live, when all three networks, then before the cable companies were busy, the three networks all covered it live. And might have been CNN, I don't know, but anyway, at least the ABC, CBS, NBC. Live, right now. You can't watch Roxanne. There's brothers. You got to watch Clinton. Clinton told us with his own mouth. I've got it in writing from his own book. Bill Clinton told us that there was a conspiracy, that he was part of it, that he was elected because of it, and that this conspiracy controlled both political parties equally.
Yeah.
He told us this with his own mouth, live on national TV. And I love to ask Americans, how many of you know that? I don't know what you're talking about. Do you understand? Clinton told us this, which means that he proved me right on one night in 1992, and I've been spending 40 years to find it. Clinton already knew it. Where did he learn it? From Dr. Carol Quigley at Georgetown University. That's where Clinton went to college for 4 years. He was taught by Dr. Quigley, who, when he was there, wrote a book called, while Clinton was there, wrote a book called Tragedy and Hope in 1966, when Clinton was someplace between his sophomore and junior years. Sometime during that year, he wrote the book, and I was able to document that the book was required reading for Quigley's course. And Quigley was his major advisor, major instructor.
Wow.
So we know that Clinton already believes this. Now, notice, the American people don't care about this. They don't pay any attention. I put that video out within a matter of years, a couple of years probably, after I first learned about it. I had already read Tragedy and Hope back in the 70s. So when Clinton said this in 92, I put a video out called Clinton's Conspiracy, in which I documented the fact that Bill Clinton told us there's a conspiracy at work in this nation, and that he was part of it. And listen to this, America. Clinton learned that both sides in the World War II were funded by American and European businessmen. Our own government knew this was happening. Adolf Hitler was funded by American businessmen. There would have been no World War II unless we gave them the support. And Clinton knows that. And lastly, Clinton said, I have no aversion to this conspiracy.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind them killing 53 million people. What? Excuse me? This conspiracy planned World War II in 1919 and brought it to fruition. On my website, I have a copy of the top half of the Hilo, Hawaii newspaper for November the 30th, 1941. Now let's go. That's a Sunday. 7 days later is December the 7th, and that's another Sunday. So this was the Sunday before the 6th and the 7th December. And the headline reads in the Hilo, Hawaii newspaper, and by the way, so that you know I didn't make it up out of on the computer, I still have the envelope because I got it from the Hilo, Hawaii library. They made a copy and sent it to me. And the headline reads, Japan may strike this weekend. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How come the newspaper, this weekend meant not the Sunday, because the weekend's already half over. Saturday's gone by, so it has to be next weekend, the 6th and the 7th. When did Japan strike? The 7th of December, 1941.
Wow.
9 congressional investigations said that Roosevelt didn't know about Pearl Harbor before it happened. But the newspaper knew. How come? How come the newspaper knew and Roosevelt didn't? I would dare say that the people with the government, their intelligence was a lot better than what the newspaper had.
Yeah.
We had other nations helping us and their intelligence departments, and we had our own Navy and ships and radios and everything else. The newspapers got two reporters probably. How come they knew? And I want to frighten you, but let me tell you why. See, Franklin Roosevelt was a Mason, 32nd degree Mason, and the Masons protect their brothers.
Wow.
By the way, next time you come up behind a car on the you stop at a stoplight, and you see some circles on the trunk or the bumper of the car, usually on the trunk because they're magnetic. And they're about 2 inches. They're very beautiful, glossy, shiny, colorful things. And they're squares and compasses and stars and things. You say, what's that all about? Notice what side of the car they're on. They're on the driver's side. So you see it because you're in the driver of your car. Looking straight ahead of you on the trunk of the car in front of you, if it's there, are these circles that are held there by magnets or maybe even attached. I think they're magnets.
Yeah.
And what they're for is that's the way that the owner or the driver of that car identifies himself on his side of the vehicle that he's a Mason. For what reason? Now, if the policeman gets out, he pulls in behind the car that was speeding. Let's use that. And so he stops behind him. He gets out of the car and walks along his fender on the driver's side, and then gets by the back fender, and it goes by the trunk. He can look at it, and then he goes past the second door and the first door, and then asks the guy for his driver's license. And if he happens to be a Mason, the policeman, he will not give the driver of that car a ticket. Why? Masons protect their brothers. Now you know what those circles are on the back of the car in front of you, or even on your own car if you're a Mason. You know what I'm telling you is true. And I've heard it happened. I have a friend of mine that was a Mason, got stopped for speeding, and he didn't get a ticket. Why? Because Masons protect their brothers. And Franklin Roosevelt knew about Pearl Harbor because he was directly involved in the planning of World War II going back to 1920. Huh. World War II was planned by our government and Winston Churchill in 1920. Winston Churchill was the first Lord of the Admiralty in 1920, and Franklin Roosevelt was the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for the United States. And he and Woodrow Wilson as president, and Winston Churchill, at least, I don't know about Woodrow Wilson, but Roosevelt and Churchill were both Masons.
Wow, yeah.
And they sat down and planned Pearl Harbor. Listen to this. Parade Magazine had an article in it about 10 years ago that said in 1932, now remember, go back, the end, World War I ended in 1919, at the 1932, 13 years later, and the Pearl Harbor didn't happen until 9 years later in 1941. In 1932, the United States Navy at Pearl Harbor conducted a naval exercise. Hmm. They attacked the island from the north, from the sea.
Hmm.
And they invited the Japanese Admiralty to watch it. Why? They didn't invite the Australians or the British or you and I or the media. Why did they do that? Why would they show them that the island is vulnerable from the north? There's no way to stop the airplanes coming in. Why would they show that? And then they did nothing to shore that up. And the reason they did that was because they knew there were Japanese spies from 32 on reporting the movement of ships. And whatever, anything new developing, they were using, and we had broken the Japanese war code. We knew when Japanese spies on Pearl Harbor were sending messages back to Japan about where the ships were, when they came in, which when they went out, what's there now, where they are, et cetera. In other words, Roosevelt knew about Pearl Harbor in at least 1932. And the newspaper was right. But 9 congressional investigations said Roosevelt didn't know about Pearl Harbor. Huh? What's the truth?
Yes.
By the way, in my book, The Unseen Hand, I covered Pearl Harbor and the story, and I documented it. And way back in 1985, that our government knew.
Yes.
Now, notice this. Bill Clinton just said in 1992 that he had no aversion to what this conspiracy's done. About planning Pearl Harbor, about funding and financing Adolf Hitler. Why is that important? 53 million people died in World War II. And Clinton had no aversion to that because he knows that both sides were financed by Americans. The major factories in Germany that were producing the war materials were built with American money and technology. Why? Why would we do that? Do you understand? Let me ask you this. Do you think Lucifer liked World War II? I think so.
He enjoyed it.
Sure he did. We were killing Christians. Basically, we went to Europe to fight the war, and the European, those people are basically Christians, and we killed them, and that's okay. We fight fellow Christians. And we were taught that.
Well, let me say this real quick. A lot of people think that Christians are the true enemy of Satan, but a lot of people think that the average, you know, Joe over there and fighting in World War II is not an enemy of Satan. Satan wants people in hell. First of all, the first, number one thing, make a long story short, he wants Christians to fall back and then go to hell if they're not truly genuinely Christian. If they're trying to, he don't want you trying to serve God at all. So he wants you in hell. Then he wants the people. He hates human beings. He started off in the Garden of Eden hating whoever is a seed of Abraham or a seed of Adam. He hates humans completely. He wants everybody to go to hell with him. So then I just wanted to clear. Just go ahead and say that right quick. But go ahead, finish up.
I'm just saying this, that this war didn't have to happen.
No, it didn't.
But our government wanted it to happen. We planned Pearl Harbor in 1932. We planned the war in 1920 with Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt directly involving in the war. Franklin Roosevelt sat in the White House waiting for word from Pearl Harbor. How did he know? Because our radio, our intelligence had broken the Japanese naval code. We knew they were coming.
Yeah.
We knew.
Yes,
and why
indeed.
Didn't we do something to warn them? Now, let me finish. It's interesting that 9 congressional investigations said during the war and later on, 9 of them all concluded that Roosevelt didn't know. Now, the media blamed the admiral in charge, husband Kimmel, and the general, Wilshire Short, who was charged of the army at the barracks, I think you call it, something barracks. So they were the ones that were responsible for this. They were the dereliction of duty. They didn't prepare the island for, they couldn't. Because every general, every admiral knows that their boss is not a general, but he's called the commander-in-chief of the President of the United States. Let me give you one more instance to know how we knew that this thing was going to happen. I've known this man for 10 years probably, and I didn't know his story. But one day we were talking, and I said, let me tell you my story. I said, go ahead. He said, I was at Pearl Harbor myself. I was assigned to the USS Oklahoma, which was there. It was tied up with all the other nine battleships were all there. Not out to sea, they were there waiting. And he said he got shore leave that weekend, so he's in Honolulu enjoying himself, and he gets up on Sunday morning and hears planes flying over. He runs outside to see what it is, and it's the Japanese attacking. So I guess he put on his uniform and ran to the edge of the water, said, I want to go to the Oklahoma. They couldn't go because the Oklahoma was under attack. It was on fire or something, so he didn't go. So he said he spent the day in those little boats we've seen as you watch the thing happen. There's boats floating around picking up survivors and or, forgive me, for people that didn't make it. So, but that's what he did. When he finally got to the Oklahoma, when it was either, maybe it wasn't totally damaged, but he got back to it, he said he learned that Saturday, the day before Pearl Harbor, the Navy had an inspection. All of the battleships. And he said that when you have an inspection in the Navy, they open up all of the bulkhead doors so the admiral in charge, whoever's doing the inspection, can walk from one end of the ship to the other without obstruction, stopping every 20 feet turn that big lever or a big wheel and get the door open. And you walk in and you close it and tighten it up. They were all open. All the battleships were inspected on Saturday. And then on Sunday, those battleships had not closed those doors.
Wow.
Now let's just go to the SS Arizona. The SS Arizona is a huge, big battleship, and there was a torpedo which comes in under the waterline, and it blew a hole in the Arizona. And guess what happened? The water came in. It ran from one end of the battleship to the other. Because there was no bulkhead doors to stop it. They were there, but they were open for the inspection. Is that a coincidence? Isn't that scary? Secondly, all of the airplanes that were on the they weren't in the hangars, were pulled into circles so that the engines were all facing each other in a circle. Now, when the Japanese attacked, the Army Air Force didn't know. So the plane started strafing, so the pilots ran out to get in the airplane to get it fired up and get it on up in the air to fight back. But notice this. airplanes don't have a reverse gear. You can't back it out. It's got to be pulled out.
Yeah.
So the crew comes running out to pull the aircraft back, and there's three or four of them per airplane. Maybe there's only three or four crew members. They're pulling one airplane at a time back, and they're getting strafed by the Japanese. Mm. That was a strange thing to do. And Roosevelt ordered that personally to protect the airplanes against sabotage. Why don't you just put a man out there with a machine gun?
Yeah.
No, we pull all the airplanes in. Why? Because Roosevelt knew in advance that the Japanese would call off the attack if there was any sign they were ready to respond.
They just didn't have that.
Yes. And so if you don't want the airplanes to get into the air real quick, put them in circles. If you want the battleships to be sunk by torpedoes, open up the doors, the bulkhead doors, and don't close them on Sunday morning.
Wow.
I have heard, although I've not been able to confirm this, that a majority of the Navy was on shore leave that weekend anyway. The paper said a week before on Sunday that they were going to be attacked the following Sunday, and yet the Navy puts everybody on shore leave?
Wow.
That's not very wise, is it? This is what we're talking about. Notice how many Christians were there. I don't know, but I'm sure many of those sailors were Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And they were killed by the Japanese because Roosevelt wanted them dead. Why? Because we had to get into World War II.
Yeah.
So that the people in Germany, the Americans who built the German war machine, could make a profit.
Well, yeah, sir, yes, sir. Well, I like to get you back on pretty soon because we got a lot of talk about. I like to actually have you on for the full hours. Also, I don't know if we can even accomplish a 30-minute show local here in Eastern Washington, but we can at least try. We'll talk about it and kind of condense it down. But I'm really impressed because I didn't think. Well, I don't know. I just had a misinterpretation of what we're going to be talking about, but I'm very much impressed of your understanding and this secret cabal effect on Christianity. I think it has to do with why the churches are being eroded, especially on the various channels that we watch, the prosperity movement, and as far as having a doctrine that we are Christ. That's saying that we are Christ. And, you know, the Bible says in Matthew 24 that and many should come in my name saying, I am Christ. I believe many means millions. And prior to the Antichrist going into the temple, he'll have people thinking he's a small Christ and a big Christ and everybody else a small Christ. And I think that will be a movement. Of course, he starts off Islamic, and the mixture of religions together becomes disgusting. But it's apparent that that's what's going to happen. But thank you so much. I'm going to give you a ring probably tomorrow if you're not busy. And then we'll talk about you coming on, being one of my first 10 guests on the local. And plus the shortwave, we got a little bit more time on shortwave. So and everything will be directed back to Blog Talk or whatever instrument I use to make a longer story. It might even be just me directing people to my website and having my 24-hour radio program. But God bless you so much. I enjoyed today. Thank you for coming on. But I might have you on very quickly, like maybe Thursday, if you mind, or even
Friday. Let me know. We'll work it out.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ralph-Epperson.com. Great. My website, Ralph-Epperson.com.
Yes,
thanks very much, Phil.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless. That was a great interview. I don't know what happened to Rapture Ready, but maybe we'll get back together a little bit later. I'd like to commend everybody in the chat room. That's great dialogue. Patriot Greg, some things happened a couple times ago, but I really admire you and your what you do. I'd like to still get you on the show. As far as some of the other people in the chat room, online think tank. I definitely want to get you on my local station because I want people to hear what solutions to things that we, a lot of people come on and they present, you know, information, but we need to give solutions. And the solution to everything is actually Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. And the Bible tells us to test everything. Make sure, examine yourself, make sure you're in the faith. And I do that every day. I always do that every day. You know, I examine myself, but there are still things God is working on in me. And I'm not just saying that metaphorically. I'm telling you the truth. But God has helped, empowered me to cast all these things aside. He's freed me from different bondages. And right after I get through off this station, off this radio program, I'm, you know, I put on the armor still. But God bless everybody out there. I will say a couple things after my theme song. God bless. Once again, I'd like to thank everybody in the chat room. You guys, I'm sorry I'm not as active. I kind of like have the computer to the right side of me and another computer to the front of me, so I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, but I'm learning. I need a double microphone, I guess, so when I swing over there, I can actually either move the microphone over or whatever. But I enjoyed you guys. There's some little debate up in the chat room, but that's fun. That's good. And like I said, I apologize to the individual because I'm not used to this chat room stuff. I'm so paranoid that that part I didn't pray to God. Can you please protect us? I did it tonight though, and like I said, I'm still learning. But I did it tonight. So God, please. There's gonna be things that happen. I'm not gonna tell y'all that things ain't gonna happen. But the Lord is in control. If that does happen, then it builds me up. If somebody comes on and talks about some crazy stuff, and I hate when they talk about kids, I really do. And that's a weak spot. I mean, you don't talk about kids. That's God's blessing to the earth. That's God's blessing to the planet as kids. I mean, children, good or bad, you know, but God loves those. And let me elaborate real quick on President Obama being a Christian. I saw that in the chat room. I didn't read it precisely, but I'm going to be front up with y'all. If it doesn't come out, if it doesn't come out of your mouth after the election, you're probably not a Christian. You say, what are you talking about? If you have to pay, if it's sooner or later, don't come. I don't care if you, I don't think we've had a 100% Christian in the White House before. Because if you're saved, it's going to come out. And I was telling this individual person, if you're saved, let's use my daughter for instance. She's into basketball. Okay, she vomits out of her mouth the things that is on this basketball team. We blah blah blah. The coach said blah 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 blah. She's happy. She's praised. I mean, she's praising basketball. Praise the basketball. Praise the coach. Praise this. And I'm not saying that. I'm just being funny. But if you don't jump for joy and tell, I can't wait to tell somebody. If you talk to somebody 20 times, you talk to your sister Betty Mae 20 times without mentioning Jesus Christ, and you ain't talked to her in 5 years, you might want to. I'll give you a benefit of the doubt. Yeah, actually 20 times. That's too many times. How's your relationship with the Lord? Should be coming out pretty soon. If you got an opportunity, the true Christian is always looking for an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't wait to talk about Jesus. I mean, that's all I talk. My wife says, you talk. That's all we talk about. And I say, yeah, you're right. So let's talk about something else. But I end up getting right back to Jesus because I'm excited. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God towards salvation. And I'm telling y'all that. If you keep it to yourself, you might want to examine yourself. Not, I don't care if your life is miserably. It says through joy. That's the difference between joy and happiness. Joy is something where you always have, even through the rough times. Happiness comes sometimes. Happiness comes sometimes. It doesn't. It shows up when it feels like it. You have control of it. Oh, I'm gonna be happy. You're not happy. Find some joy, and you'll be. You would think salvation was the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Through the storms of life, when tragedy hits your family, you find joy. And it's hard. It's hard. But see, God wants us in that. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If he repeats something, if God repeats something, that is serious business. Okay? But God bless everybody out there. I must keep my eye on the chat room because I don't want to go out of the chat room and end up somebody just coming in with profanity. So I kind of like, but I want everybody to come back on and hook up with us on Thursday. I have no idea who my guest is going to be. It might be still the same guest tonight. It might be Rapture Ready Radio. It might be somebody else that was in the chat room tonight. I don't know. Okay. So I enjoy the chat room tonight, but everybody, God bless everybody out there. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will keep guidance on everyone out there, even in the holiday tomorrow as they travel through on the roads, God. I mean, just at work or whatever. Just watch over each child, each adult, and let them come closer to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Everybody have a blessed night, and God bless.